What's poppin', boo-boo? It's the Tuesday Drew and Mike Show in the Deals in the D.com studios. And excitement abounds as T.J. Lang, the former Detroit Lion, Green Bay Packer, Eastern Michigan. Wait, what are they, the Eagles now?
Yeah, the Eagles. Yeah,
former Eagle.
Shurins.
Of EMU will join us to talk about something terribly ugly that happened at the Days Inn on Friday after he checked in for a hockey tournament. And if you listened to yesterday's show, you're pretty up to speed on it. I don't know what to say. I mean, he said it was the worst fucking hotel experience ever, 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 fucking ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
I guess because he wasn't a Wyndham Reward member either.
Well, that could have played a role, but we did hear the other side. There may have been some hockey played in the hallways, and there were some parents doing a little celebrating. And I did get an email today from somebody who said they don't like staying in hotels where hockey tournament groups are staying.
Saw that email.
There's spirited.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids running around and
excitement,
a little rowdy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that reminded me. I stayed at a hotel? A DoubleTree once.
Oh, nice.
And there were a lot of hockey players there for an over the holidays hockey tournament. And they were a little rowdy. It was not unbearable. It wasn't a really big deal. It was kind of, yeah. I mean, I was kind of amused by it.
Well, right.
But yeah, I think
you're the right kind of customer.
Sure. Not sure everybody else was totally amused, but it wasn't, you know, you sort of get it when you see these kids in the same jerseys and all that. You know what's going on.
Yeah. Plus, DoubleTree, chocolate cookies.
What?
Yeah, Trudy, I don't think they do that anymore.
What? Their hallmark.
I know. I remember them doing it. I stayed at a DoubleTree in Phoenix. That was my first DoubleTree.
Ugh.
And always the big chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
I'll bring the cookies.
That's Mrs. DoubleTree.
Did that show up at Turn down service?
Turn down service.
I think so. And then I think it also, I think I stayed one a couple of years ago and it turned into kind of like here's your cookie. You know, it wasn't
put
like
that
hot.
Cookie down! Oh. Now!
Was it warm?
When you check in, they give it to you or something.
Yeah, here's your fucking cookie.
Well, I've always said turn down service is the most annoying thing possibly in the history of the world.
It sounds like they're just trying to be nosy.
Yeah, they just want to get in the room and make sure you're not doing anything terrible. And and also maybe they get a tip for turning down the bedspread.
Oh, that's right.
Tough thing to do.
I know, that's...
It's really hard.
I mean, honestly, I always want to say, do people really need this? Or is there someone that wants this? Because I always considered it an intrusion.
Well, Trudy wants it so she can get her cookie.
Well, if they bring a cookie, that's different.
Or the mints, or...
Yeah.
I don't know, what else do they do? I guess if you're on a cruise, they'll make little animals out of your towels.
That's true. Delicious.
I've just never been really impressed by any turndown service.
No, I haven't either. They can do away with that.
You just haven't had the right turndown service, my man.
Now, that's that's something that they don't have to worry about at the Days Inn in Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, nice transition.
But I am really intrigued by what it is that got TJ so angry. I've been in circumstances, you know, like Brandon, where you get... You find you're in a place where, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The last time it happened to me, I think it was in Las Vegas when everything was booked.
Oh, and no, so, where'd you end up?
Well, they said, you know what, we'll just get your room at blank. And it's like, oh, God, I got a room. Thank God. And I just thought, you know, Vegas? What can be bad in Vegas? Well, I found out there's something bad in Vegas. And
well, you've seen it on Cops a lot.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, those are always those hourly kind of places.
Right.
But I just remember that my partner, the dear departed Connie, at the time was in tears.
Oh, man.
Because there were some early disclosures that were a big bummer.
We had that in Cooperstown, New York, after the big power outage on the East Coast because we canceled our reservation because we were left a day later because of the power outing. We get there and everything's booked. I didn't realize everything in Cooperstown, New York is a bed and breakfast.
I stayed there too. Yeah, same. Samesies.
Except for the Cooperstown Inn, which was the worst. It was pretty awful.
Pretty threadbare.
Hotel. But the coolest part was you go in and there's this ancient lady working. I'm like, do you have any rooms? And she's like, oh, yeah. And I'm looking at all the pictures of all these baseball players. And there's one with Babe Ruth. I'm like, oh, wow, Babe Ruth. She goes, that's me. This little girl in the picture. What are you, 300? How are you that old? And here she is working at like 2 a.m. at the Cooperstown Inn.
Is she holding a bat wearing a Yankees uniform?
It's like a picture of Babe Ruth with a bunch of kids.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
I thought okay. Babe Ruth could look like a woman a little bit, though. He might have.
He had hips.
He didn't really have a stash or anything.
he had nice hips. Round hips.
Well, Facebook Live's brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated because water can be everywhere and anywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher. Keep an eye out for water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy. Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. And somebody was talking about having water. Somehow they knew it was under.
Turn off the water.
Under their bathtub.
Oh, Lord.
I know, and it was.
That sounds like, terrible.
Wait, how would you figure that out? How do you know it's under your bathtub?
You call Ursi and they tell you?
That was a big deal because there had to be some major contracting work to figure out what the hell it was and then determine the damage. And well, that's why you want to have that number, 877-JOB-DONE, right at all times, or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com or storm damage, fire damage, mold. Oh, God, mold. Or COVID. Maybe you got emergency vehicles or a business. 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And Royal Oak, boy, people are spending their $20 and Royal Oak bucks. Another big flurry yesterday, even on a not-so-great day. So keep it coming. You're probably getting a notice that you've only got so much time left. And they do have the lift on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because there still should be a bunch of bucks left for this weekend. Those of you who haven't spent it yet, just use Go To Royal Oak, Go, GO2RO, as your code. You get $10 off your lift there and $10 off your lift home. And, they've got some other tricks up their sleeve for later on in the year from the Downtown Development Association to make you want to visit Royal Oak. So stay tuned.
Can you trick or treat in Royal Oak?
I don't know who is trick or treating. I love Halloween for a lot of reasons.
Maz's.
Yeah, that's right. Isaiah.
I mean, I'm assuming that I have to buy candy because somebody could come by my house and I'll go like, oh my God, I don't have any candy. I mean,
just hide. Just turn off your lights and hide.
I don't feel right.
We'll probably
doing
just
that.
Be doing the show that day. Oh no, it's on a Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
Oh, you know why? Because Michigan and Michigan State play at noon that day.
That's right.
Halloween.
That's right. Oh my God.
That's not a bloop. That's very important information. That's not a bloop. That's
absolutely a bloop because they're playing at noon. It's inconsequential.
Come on.
Nobody trick or treats at noon.
Well, I bet you Maz probably has his trunk or treat earlier in the day that he's going to have to miss now.
Well, why is trunk or treat safe and regular trick or treating isn't?
Sure, I don't know.
Because I heard
outside. Well,
we're talking about
outside. I don't know.
You know, don't touch the candy for a day after you trick or treat. If you do trick or treat, I'm thinking, are people going to be so afraid to trick or treat? Even though kids are usually wearing a mask of some kind, or you could wear a mask. I mean, is it really that fearful to be within a few feet of the homeowner who's giving you candy?
I wouldn't think so. People who are wiping down their candy, by the way. What?
Yeah. They don't need to
wipe
do that,
down candy? Yeah. Why?
Let it sit for 24 hours after you trick or treat.
Well, this is great because I have some from last year, so I'll just give that away. It's safe, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure it is. Maybe.
Sugar activates the opiate receptors in your brain. People can't resist it. That's why women eat so much chocolate on their periods.
Yeah.
Wait, you can't really have candy left from last year, do you?
I did, because Zoov's hid it from me after we didn't give a bunch away. Yeah.
He hid it from
me. It's your house!
I know.
Why is he hiding stuff from you in your house? That's weird.
He should be expelled.
Zoov's.
Put him in time out. A long time out for that one.
Because he knows that I'll eat it, and then I'll be like, oh, God damn it, why did I eat all this candy? So he's trying to avoid that spiral.
Okay,
it's the same thing Julie does to Charlotte and me.
And
but
you.
She's my wife and her mom.
So. I realize that you don't have to buy as much candy this year, but wouldn't it make more sense to throw it out?
I guess.
Give
but
kids
it was
year-old food. Rush at the hospital in Farmington. Yeah. Someone gave out ancient food. It's killing these kids.
Hey, all those post-apocalyptic movies, they always eat old food, and they're all right.
That's true.
That's true. I do have actual audio of Trudy and Zoobs here.
I told all three of them to stay away from this candy for 24 hours.
What are you even eating?
The guy counted you hogged down 11 chocolates covered cherries since yesterday afternoon. That makes you a hog. I just want to establish that fact, and now I have. Hey, Mr. Hotshot Hog and I have just been establishing some facts, and what we've come up with is this. One, he's a pig who gobbles down everybody's candy. Two, he lies about it. Three, he lays around on his candy ass day and night reading and reading. And four, he's not getting any $10 gym shoes. That's about what we've come up with so far.
Oh, Dad, why don't you just lay off?
Don't give me that off, Dad. Now you shut your goddamn pie hole.
Oh, man.
That's about right.
I have to admit, last week, I was hungry. It was about 2:30. I was thinking, oh, man, I got to go out and get something. And then I thought, wait, don't I have some roast beef? And so I went in the fridge, and it was...
I don't know.
I'm thinking the sold-by date was, let's see, it was like the... I think it was the 9th, and the sold-by date was the 6th.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, I got to give you a couple days to eat it. And it was like marginal, but I just went ahead and had a sandwich. It was great, by the way. The sandwich was fine.
Oh.
And then... the next day, about 2:30, I was going, God,
where's the beef?
I want to go out and get something. I don't want to take the time. Well, I still have the roast beef. And I made another sandwich. And it was okay.
Huh.
And then the third day.
Oh, no.
It's all like, slimy.
It's like, God, this seems really iffy. And it seemed like it was just not, I don't know. I know a lot of people would not have eaten it.
Yeah.
But I did. And it was okay. And that was all the roast beef. So. Ugh.
So you're okay. You're okay.
I'm okay, yeah. I really think that I have eaten so many dubious things over the course of my life that my system somehow assimilates spoiled food better than most.
I feel like that too. I'm with you on that. And growing up next to Lake Erie.
Hey, there's that Hall Financial Hotline opening up wide open for TJ Lang. We'll be talking to TJ in a minute. It appears the whole world's gone crazy, and I can't stop talking about it. Not to mention our friends at Zot, Ford, and Holly. They've been crazy since back in the day when crazy actually meant something. Anthony Gabara and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County want to let the baby have his bottle, so here are a few of Zot, Ford's craziest deals of the year. Lease a new loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $177 a month, or get to Zot, Ford, and lease the SUV everybody's talking about, the new all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive as low as $212 a month. Finally, lease the toughest truck on the road, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 as low as $199 a month. And when you thought things couldn't get any nuttier, Zot will have the highly anticipated Ford Bronco Sport in stock and ready for any delivery any day. So check all those deals and all the inventory at dealsinthed.com. And meanwhile, Hall Financial wants you to refinance so they can save you money. If they can't, they'll tell you. You just need a little bit of information. Call 248-308-5000 and find out why people are saving so much money. If you know your interest rate's above 3.5 and you don't call, I really think you should. Go to davidallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike or click the link on our website to find out about Hall Financial, and they'll get back to you very quickly. And if you're on the market, remember their service is the fastest in the business, 19-day average for Hall Financial, NMLS number 1467435.
I love saving money.
Yeah. And I think we got TJ Lang on the Hall Financial Hotline. Is that TJ, Mark?
Yeah, he's there.
Oh, okay. Hey, TJ.
Green Bay Packers. You like the Packers?
Was that TJ?
Hello.
How you doing, TJ?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Sound a little scratchy there.
Are you calling from the Days Inn?
Oh, no.
Oh, people get to see how the sausage is made again.
Did you lose them?
You know, when he first connected, it was kind of a bad, like, cell, little area there.
Yeah?
But then he was totally fine, so.
Is he in his car?
Well, I didn't get a chance to ask him.
TJ, yeah. Walk to the part of the house you were in when you first called Mark.
I'm trying. I'm out of breath. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You're out of breath.
All right.
That's exciting.
Sorry.
What? Did you?
Breath. I was outside.
Oh, okay.
I thought he's on.
I thought maybe he sprinted to the part of the house where
there he is.
I did. I'm back.
All right. How fast are you sprinting these days?
not very fast at all. It was a brisk walk, and it's going to take me a few minutes to catch my breath.
You're winded.
Stay with me.
Okay, we'll give you a break. what are you doing in the yard, by the way?
Oh, I was actually running to my car to, if we're being honest, I was grabbing a can of tobacco. So
I see.
Don't promote my bad habits.
I was going to say, believe me.
We've all got our vice.
Plenty of bad habits in this room. we were really chuckling over the tweets from Friday from the Days Inn in Sault Ste. Marie. And I've stayed in some iffy hotels in my time. I know that feeling. It is absolutely horrible. But I wasn't sure. We couldn't help but wonder what exactly was wrong besides calling the cops on people that want new linens.
Drew, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I'm like, first of all, let me lay the groundwork a little bit, okay? Because I know a lot of people are like, well, what the hell are you doing at the Days Inn? You know? And
I know, isn't that funny?
When you're traveling, my son's 9. He plays travel hockey. And you do probably 4 or 5 tournaments a year. And you're staying at hotels no matter where you're at. Sault Ste. Marie is a nice town. I've been there before. But, you know, let's be honest, they don't have any Ritz-Carltons up there. So you're kind of limited with choices. And you go through these hockey tournament, companies that they basically give you like, hey, your team's staying at the Quality and your team's staying at the Days and your team's staying here. So you don't really have a choice where you're staying. They get a percentage through the hotel. It's like, you know, $110 a night, you know, $80 goes to the hotel, the other 30 goes to the tournament, whatever, for giving them the business. So we didn't really have a choice, but there was actually, I think, there was a pretty big tournament up there this weekend, and I think there were 4 teams all staying at the same hotel. We were all at the Days Inn, and we really had, like, our own section of the hotel where it was just, like, probably, I heard you guys talking to that dude yesterday, Jack, whatever. He sounded like a total douche, by the way. I'd get my ass out of the Days Inn company if I was him. He didn't sound like he knew what the hell he was talking about.
He was a little more reasonable than the owner, though. I will say that.
He did point out that he doesn't work for the Days Inn, just for that owner.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering. And I'm like, okay, so he said he was like the regional manager or something. Yeah. So is he like the owner's boss? Like, I don't know how that all
it's
works.
It's like a troubleshooter.
I'd find the fucking company to go work for, because that one's just an absolute disaster.
Well, it seems to me if you're talking to the owner of the hotel and there's something happening on social media that's really not good publicity, you might want to handle it in a more deft manner than the
thing. Well, I'm gonna guess TJ that you did not agree that there was a language barrier.
I heard you guys talking to him yesterday. I mean, come on, like that was like the PG version of what we got. Whoa. I mean, he was threatening you guys to stop calling and doing all shit. I mean, that's like the PG version. So we first get, and that was the same guy who we got into it with, and he was the one who claimed to be the owner. From being up in Sault Ste. Marie, we were there for, you know, 3 days, 3.5 days, and we went a lot around to a lot of different restaurants and other joints, and everywhere we went was just awesome. I loved being up North Michigan, and everybody, like, word started getting around, like, oh, I heard you had a bad experience at the Days Inn. All these locals are like, dude, that guy's had so many problems. Nobody fucking likes him. He owns like a liquor store and another convenience store, and everywhere, like every business he owns has issues. Like, everybody hates the guy. So I'm like, okay, I'm glad I'm not. Like, I'm glad I didn't tick off like some like popular dude, and everybody thinks I'm an asshole now. But so we get. I mean, it's kind of just, there was just so much shit, and I wish I would have read the reviews first, you know, before we stayed there. Usually I do if I book my own hotel, but since it was a hockey tournament, you know, that's where we got stuck. So, yeah.
Well, you're kind of stuck. TJ, don't you really have to stay with the team anyway? I mean, wherever the team's staying, because your kid's on the team and you don't want to act special or anything.
Oh, yeah, you do. And they have different rules and, you know, like, 90% of teams got to stay there just to play in the tournament and those kind of things.
Oh.
But plus, yeah, you're absolutely right. I think you want the kid. It's just about, the kids love playing hockey and they love being around each other. It's all, they're all friends. You know, there's 12 kids on the team. They're 9 years old. they love being around each other. So yeah, you want to keep them. You want to. It's basically building memories for the kids. You know, they get to go to these hotels and swim in the pools, and usually, most of the time, 99% of the time, it's a great experience. This one would happen to be. You know, we got the shitty one, which was tough. But, you know, when we get to this Days Inn, and it's like, oh, you know, like, I've been to Days Inn before. I've never had an issue with them before. Usually a nice little, you know.
Yeah, they're okay. Sleep. Basic.
And okay, basic. And I know I played in the NFL, but I'm very basic guy, you know, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate hardworking people and blue collar people. It's the type of family I grew up in, so I could respect small business owners. And we got up there Thursday night. We went to check in, and I walked in. As soon as I opened the door, there was just like the worst smell of like BO you could possibly imagine. And it was like, it was almost giving me a headache. And I just told my wife, I'm like, I can't.
What?
I can't go. Like, you're going to have to go check in. I can't do it. Like, wait. It's just so bad.
Wait, you're not going to believe this. We read a lot of the reviews for that hotel yesterday, and one person said they got a headache because they walked in, and it was a mix of dirty sweat socks mixed with cigarettes.
She said her face was burning,
Mark. Her face was burning. That was the quote.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrendous. And it's like, okay, you know, like, that, whatever. I'm not going to complain about that. You know, this guy probably lives here, for all I know. You know, we check in, we get going, we get up to our room, we see, okay, like, everybody kind of started, we were one of the first families there, then people started filing in, and the one thing you could hope for from these hotels when you do these hockey tournaments is that they just kind of seclude you, your hockey families, to, like, one area so you're not bothering a bunch of people, because let's be realistic, you got 40 to, you know, 45, 50, 9-year-old, 10-year-old kids in a hotel, like, it's going to be absolutely impossible to keep them. All right, guys, we're going to the hotel. We're going to sleep. Be quiet. Don't bother the other kids. You know, like, they're going to go to each other's rooms and play their video games and do whatever they want. And the parents and the adults, like, we hung out mostly in the parking lot because we wanted to be mindful of the fact that there might be other guests, which I can tell you there was like one other fucking guest besides the hockey team there. And so I don't know what the hell Zach was talking about that we were like, you know, disturbing other guests. There was one fucking guy. And guess where they put this fucking guy?
Right
in the middle. There's 80 fucking rooms. They put him right in the middle of these fucking hockey kids. So then we started having issues with him. He's coming out of it. And he's like some, I don't know. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, describe him. Like, is he old? Is he young? Is he solo? Is he by himself?
Okay, I'm going to, like, preface my comments with this. My mom's longtime boyfriend is a truck driver. I respect truck drivers. I know it's a hard work. He was, like, the filthiest looking, like, creepiest truck driver you can possibly imagine, okay?
Okay.
And that's like, and I kind of saw him walking around the hotel, and it was, I had to ask the other families, because there's three other teams there. I don't know who anybody is, and I'm asking anybody, like, hey, you know, is he with you guys? Is he one of the dads? And everybody's like, no, I don't know who he is. So I kind of, like, the radar went up, like, okay, this is a little weird. Why is this guy wandering around, like, all of our kids, you know? It's kind of weird. So I was outside at one point talking with a bunch of the dads and came back up, and a couple of the kids were crying, and I was like, well, what happened? And they said, this gentleman came out and started yelling at all the kids, you know, to shut up. And I'm like, where the hell is this guy? You know, and I started getting pissed off. So he comes out again and, you know, he says, you know, I got to get up early. I got to work at 6 o'clock or something. I got to fucking get in my truck and drive and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, sir. And I looked at my watch. It was like fucking 7:15 at night. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, dude, it's okay. Calm down, buddy. It's not fucking 2 a.m, you know? So we kind of got to get into it a little bit. And after that, like, we tried to be mindful. We were like, okay, I don't know why they put this one guest literally surrounded by these 40 hockey families. I mean, this was a pretty big hotel. Like, there's like 40 rooms on the second floor and like 40 rooms on the first floor. And there was nobody staying on the first floor. I walked down there multiple times. Like, we were out in the parking lot. Every light was off. There was no car. Like, you could tell it was just empty. So fast forward to, I don't know, probably about 8 o'clock. This gentleman, we're standing on the hallway, and it's most of the kids we had it in like 2 or 3 rooms. They were playing video games and doing their stuff. And there was probably, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 parents out there. And we were kind of cleaning up because the kids were, eating pizza, and we were having a couple drinks. I'm standing there, and this, you know, this trucker guy jumps out of his room again, fucking slams his door as hard as he can, gets in my face, starts yelling at me, you know, like, hey, you want to, you know, you're the fucking loud, no, you'll fucking see Big Red. I'm going to fucking get your ass. I'm like,
what?
And I'm looking around like, that was a joke, right? Because, like, me and other dad's like, dude, did he just fucking threaten me? Like,
wait, TJ, how big is this guy?
Complaints, blah blah blah, and we're like, oh, what? Like, it's fucking 8:30, and like, we're being quiet. What the fuck do you want us to do? So I walk downstairs with a couple other dads, you know, because the truck driver was obviously pissed off. So we walked up to, we went over to like go to the front desk or whatever, right, to see this lovely gentleman that was working.
Have any tweets gone out, TJ? Hey, TJ, have any tweets gone out yet?
No tweets. This is free tweet. This is free tweet. So we go down, and you know, we were in the parking lot. We probably got back from the game at like 6:30. So we got back, and hockey tournaments. The parents are all, you know, bringing their coolers and drinking and stuff. At this point, though, it's probably like a little after 8. I would say everybody was very under control. Including myself, which is pretty rare for that time of night. I grabbed a couple other dads, and I'm like, all right, let's just go downstairs and try to, like, cash this thing out. You know, the cops are scared because they're thinking daddy's going to jail and all this shit. Aww. So we walk downstairs, and there's, like, I think there's 4 or 5 of us parents. And we walk down, and we saw a truck driver walking, like, back up the other way. So I kind of said something to him, not aggressive. I just said, hey, what did you say to me in the hallway, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of looked, he thought we were, like, coming to get him. So he's like, oh, just come on, man, you know, don't be like that, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, dude, like, you didn't have to call the cops. It was kind of necessary. Big pet peeve of mine is, like, if you're a grown adult and you have an issue, like, with noise complaint, can you just come out and, like, say something, you know, like, hey, guys, I really got to sleep. I will do my best job possible to, like, make sure, you know, we keep it down and try to respect everybody else's privacy.
But, well, he hadn't called the front desk yet? He just went right to the cops?
No, so I guess I found this story out the following day that this guy was, he had been staying there for, like, 2 months straight.
Oh.
I don't know if he was, like, living there or like, him and the, you know, front desk dude were, like, best friends or something. If he was staying, like, I didn't get the story, but they're... So,
90 Day Fiancé.
I'm glad you said it. I didn't want to say it. So, because it was just
which is
weird.
Fine.
Like, yeah, which is, no, it was just totally fine. But it was just like, okay, why? You
why
know,
is he protecting him? Here. Yeah.
But it was just, and a couple other parents, like, ended up, well, let me tell the first part of the story. So we go down, there's a group of us parents, we walk down, very polite, and I'm really glad that one of the dads actually recorded the whole thing just to prove, like, we were being polite and trying to, like, you know, be the nice guys.
Yeah.
So we walk down, we kind of come to the front desk, when one of the dads starts talking and says, I think it was something along the line of, sir, you know, we're sorry being loud, but, you know, all the families up there are hockey families. Do you have any available rooms where maybe we could move truck driver man, you know, so he's just away from the kids. We don't got to bother him. Like, boom, problem solved. And it just went from like 0 to 100. Like, you go back to your room. You go back to your room. You go back to your room. And we're standing there like, no. We're like trying to like hash this out, you know. And the cops couldn't have been gone for maybe more than fucking 3 minutes at this point. So he pulls out his phone, fucking starts calling the cops, screaming again. And,
what?
You guys, you go back to your room. You go back to your room. And we're standing there, and he goes, you go back to your room now. You don't talk to me. You go back to your room.
Wow.
And I'm like, and at that point, we're all like, what? Like, we're looking at each other confused. Like, is somebody going to pop out with a fucking video camera, like, joking? Like, what is going on? So the cops come back, and they kind of said, they take the owner out. Like, he says he was the owner. I don't think he was. They take him outside. One cop's talking to him. The other cop's talking to us. And guys, what's going on? We showed him the video. We're like, dude, we came down and like, this one guy's guest is clearly upset. You know, we're trying just to figure out the best way possible to make everybody happy. You guys got better shit to do than come here. And the one cop was really cool. He's like, you know what? We're out here like fucking 3 days a week. This guy, he literally fucking calls us 3 days a fucking week, wanting to kick people out. So the other cop, you could tell he was like, you know, I know it's a tough time for cops especially nowadays, he comes in, and he must have been right out of the academy, because he was like, boom, fuck yeah, let's go kick some fucking guys out of the hotel. Yeah, like he was all rowdied up about it. So he comes back in, and the two cops kind of talking together, and you know, the owner dude at the front desk is still going ballistic. I want them gone. So the cop's like,
wow,
you know what, you guys got to pack shit and get out. And we're like, what? Like, well, like, hold on a minute. Like,
why?
We didn't even do anything. Like, why are you kicking us out? And
the whole,
like,
wait, the whole
doesn't matter. He wants you gone.
The whole group?
No, like the five. It was like just like the five people that were down there,
okay.
Trying to talk to him. And there was only like two of us talking. The other three were just kind of like peacemakers, which we wouldn't be peaceful in the first place. And then it pissed me off. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you're in customer service. You run a fucking hotel in Northern Michigan, which I can't imagine. This time of year, you have very many guests, you know, like people that are just like, ah, go to fucking stay at the Days Inn in Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah, during COVID.
During COVID. So that started to piss me off, because I'm like, and we were floating around ideas, you know, left and right about what's going on up there. But that particular hotel is like, why are you so comfortable, like, just tossing guests and just losing? Like, you would think that you kind of, like, you need these people. Like, you want this money. You need this revenue. You want people to come stay there. You want people to leave you good reviews. And then that's when I started to look up at the reviews. And I swear to God, every three reviews was like, actually, one of the other team's parents, that's what I tweeted out about. She went in a room, and I don't know if, like, the bed sheets were filthy, the blanket was filthy. The whole place just stunk. It was just nasty. She went down and was basically like, can I get room service? My room hasn't been clean. It's dirty. And he was like, you go back to your room. And
he was like, that's his go-to, man.
And I was only trying to, like, call the cops. Like, what the fuck, dude?
I don't like somebody telling me to go back to my room either. It's like, I'm an adult. I'm free. I don't have to stay in my room anyway. I can go anywhere I want.
No, exactly. You go back to your room now.
Like, no, I'm paying you fucking money. Like,
exactly.
I'm not the cleanest dude in the world, but there's a certain level of fucking cleanliness you expect when you're paying $100 a night at a hotel, you know?
Wait, it was $100 a night because it's a $55 hotel.
Oh, fuck no. Well, the hockey weekend, they jack it up on us. So I think it's like we ended up paying... so this was another thing.
Well, I'm being a travel hockey business.
So we left Friday night. We're just like, all right, okay, let's pack our shit. Well, we got escorted out by these lovely gentlemen in police uniforms.
you were thrown out of the hotel.
So we got thrown out of the hotel.
Have you ever been thrown out of a hotel before?
No, but, and you know what the funny part was? It was like, I looked at the cop at one point, and I'm like, can I at least, like, break something so I feel like I'm getting my money's worth? At least thrown out. Like, if you're going to throw me out for nothing, like, I can't live with that, man. I at least got to, like, I got to go down swinging or do something, you know, to feel like I deserve this.
Here's actual audio of TJ getting kicked out.
Isn't this America? I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
any truth?
You get out of my hotel. I mean, it was just, you
arrest
could, like,
me for
you,
what?
You didn't,
I'm not allowed to stand up for myself? I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America? I'm sorry. I thought this was America.
I will say, when it became evident, like, that we could not talk to this dude and he was kicking us out, I did kind of hit, like, dickhead mode pretty quick, and
well, if you're already out,
I'm like, you know what? And the cops, one of the cops knew who I was, and he was like, oh, TJ, we're so sorry, blah blah. And I started yelling at the fucking owner. I'm like, dude, I am gonna fucking blast you every single day. And so I hope nobody ever fucking stays at your hotel again. Like, I was just in that rage. Like, I just hit a point where I'm like, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going down swinging.
TJ, did the officer recognize you from Pitch Perfect 2?
That may happen. Probably would. Yeah.
Hey, I haven't seen Pitch Perfect 2. What does TJ do in Pitch Perfect 2?
I'll let him explain.
He's in a group.
He's one of the acapella groups.
TJ, can you handle this? David, can you handle this? Clay, can you handle this? I don't think they can handle this. I don't think you're ready for this challenge.
And there's TJ's butt.
Actually singing too.
Hey, how'd you get that gig?
Little auto too. We had one of our rookies that, like, as a prank, being like, dude, you gotta get us in a movie somehow, like, get your rookie duty. Every rookie does it, blah blah. And he's like, bullshit, I've never seen any fucking Packers guys in that movie. but he was actually, tweeting about Pitch Perfect 2, and I think Elizabeth Banks, who's pretty, famous actor in Hollywood, was the director of it, and he was tweeting at her, and he's like, hey, the guys are huge fans, blah, 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 and we love the movies, and somehow her husband, I think, was a producer as well, got a hold back of him, and he's like, what took you up for a cameo? And we're like, fuck, it actually works. Like, that's the first you've ever heard. So, yeah, that was a funny story. Anyway, get back. So the hotel thing, so they were so, like, after we left, we're like, you know what, fuck this place. We called our credit card company. We're like, stop paying it now. I'm not paying this guy a fucking dime of my money. One of the moms, she had no like soap or shampoo or maybe towels or something, and went down to the front desk and was asking for some more stuff. And he was like, we did not get shipment this month. He's basically like soup Nazi guy, but just like an even bigger dick, you know? and then her heater wasn't working. They've got like these little, radio boxes with the knobs on it.
Yeah. From 1910.
Yeah, from like the 20s, and it wasn't working. So she called him, and he was like, you just don't know how to work it. You don't know how to work it, blah, 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 and like hung up on her. And it's like, her room was like 50 degrees. I'm like, you better call your fucking credit company and dispute these charges. I wouldn't pay a dime. One of the funniest reviews I read, though, which is like totally believable, was that the heater was like sparking one night.
Yeah.
Like, it almost lit on fire, and they called him, and he's like, oh, it does that sometimes. What's your response to your fucking hotel almost catching on fire? It's hilarious. The last part of the story was yesterday. We went back there, I think, Saturday morning, because we brought a grill up and we were like grilling in the parking lot and everything. And I was kind of walking around with my hood on and my hat tucked in. I'm like, I don't want this guy fucking calling the cops again. And we actually went back up to our room. It was fucking key card still worked and everything. So he didn't even know who kicked out. He just went fucking rage mode and just kicked people out left and right. But yesterday when a bunch of the parents were checking out, there was something with the bill where it was supposed to be, it was only supposed to be like $80 a night, which would equate to like $240, maybe $250 with taxes. And when they got their bill, it was like $370.
Oh.
And they're like, no. Like we paid the deposit to the traveling, the hockey tournament. And then, this was supposed to be like $80 a night. And he's like, well, no. You paid now. And then you call in 2 days and I refund you.
Go back to your car.
Pay now and then I refund you.
He goes, he told one day, he goes, you call back in 2 days, I refund you. And he's like,
it's rebate.
No, motherfucker. Like, I'm not paying you this fucking money.
TJ, there was another review.
Like the scammiest hotel in the world.
Drew, do you remember that? There was another review that said the same thing. They said they would call, we could call back in 2 days and they would refund us.
Yeah.
They never called, and then they called on day three, and of course they said no.
And that's, exactly, like, the owner's like, fuck these guys, they're not going to drive back up here 6 hours to fucking
I want to go up there just to see this guy. I want to experience this guy.
You talked to him on the phone yesterday, I know you got a little taste of it.
Yeah.
That is, like, fucking 0.1% of what this asshole is about, dude. Wow. It is just, and then when you got a hold of Zach, like, I was kind of hoping you guys were going to have Zach on the other line today so I could fucking talk to that guy, too. he's like, the other family was disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have 50 kids staying at your hotel. Mm-hmm. When we go to hotels and these tournaments and stuff, usually one of the first things we do is try to talk to whoever the manager is or whoever, whoever's working, and try to just give them the heads up, like, hey, you guys probably hosted hockey tournaments before. Like, the kids are kind of hard to just corral them in one place. They run around sometimes. If you got any, like, most of them have like those meeting rooms and banquet rooms that will let us use it for like the weekend. So instead of running around the hallway, run around in the,
they want groups.
Just give us a room.
That's good.
And most hotels that we stay at are, they're used to it. They're used to hosting hockey tournaments, and they're used to, the kids being kids and going in the pool and doing like running through the hallway. I mean, it's one thing I would say that I've never witnessed is, like, usually 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night is like, okay, everybody get to the room, start calming down. We got a game tomorrow. You know, it'd be different in my opinion if it was fucking 1:30 in the morning and just don't, like all through the fucking hallway. Like that's something that, okay, like I could understand if you're getting pissed about. Yes, I'd be pissed about it too.
Is there any chance we could get the videotape of that guy recorded?
I could try. Actually, one of my buddies got it, and it's just like I'll have him send it to me.
Oh yeah.
I want to see. First of all, I need to see him. I'd like to see the guy. I'd like to see him when he's in full, you know, action mode.
Outrage.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you probably have a picture in your mind. It's probably pretty accurate. But I mean, we were trying to watch it, and all you could hear, like you heard me a couple of times say, like, sir, can I please just talk for like 30 seconds? And he's just, you go back to your room. You go back to just over and over like a fucking broken record.
I want to see it just for that
now.
Drop.
I do too.
You go back to your room now.
And that's so obnoxious. Like, that's I love that line too. I mean, it seems like something you could say dismissive. To anyone. And it would be very obnoxious to hear.
Usually, what you say to like a 6 or 7 year old.
Yeah, it was incredible. So then, one of the dads, I think, after we got kicked out. One of the dads who didn't go down with us, he was allowed to stay. Lucky for him. He goes down there because his room was actually like doing, like, you know, they had the door in between with the trucker dude.
Oh boy.
And he was like super uncomfortable. He's like, we're getting the fuck out of here. It's just weird. The door, like the hotel was just, like there were no lights anywhere. There were no lights in the parking lot. There was a back door that like led right to where our rooms were.
Oh,
that was unlocked at all times. It was just wide open. It's like, dude, anybody can walk up here at any given time and just like you don't know what's happening, man. You're trying to protect your kids, and so we went down to the front desk after this whole thing was over, and he goes, as soon as he walks up to the front desk, I don't even know his name. You don't talk to me. You go back to your room. And the guy's like, no, I want to check out. And he's like, no, you go back to your room. And he like walks back in his office and like slammed the door. So my buddy, one of the dads, was like sitting in the lobby, and right there in the lobby was a phone. And he picked it up, pressed 0. The front desk just starts ringing. Angry dude comes walking back out, picks up the phone, and he's standing right in front of him on the phone like, it's me, motherfucker. Talk to me. Just like mocking the dude. But yeah, it was, I kind of woke up Saturday morning. I'm like, did I go over the line, like tweeting all that shit out? But at the end of the day, I'm like,
well,
you know
that
what?
Keeps people like that honest, though. I think if nobody ever says anything, nobody tweets anything, nobody responds or puts out a bad review, then nobody's on their toes. You could keep telling people to go back to their room.
Exactly. And I know a bunch of the parents left a review. I'm like, what the fuck's that going to do? I'm like, I got a Twitter with a whole lot of followers. I'm going to make sure, like, I'm not trying to get this place shut down, but I'm going to make sure that I can do what I possibly do to at least like alert people. Hey, if you're fucking going up there, do not fucking stay at this hotel.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's just a nightmare. And you gotta, in my mind, like justifying it, it's like, you gotta fucking hold these people accountable, dude. You're in, you know, it's no different than going to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress being an absolute asshole and, you know, it's like you're in customer service. You're paying money
to use your services. It's hospitality.
Yeah. Like I'm a customer. You're not supposed to treat people that way. Yeah. And it just got so bad where it's like, you know what? I'm justified in doing it. I don't feel bad about it at all.
Now, TJ, what was the clutch hotel that came through for you? And I love the word clutch too, because that was clutch.
I sent out a picture. It was like the Budget Host Crestview. I had like four different names, but it was like just a typical motel.
Yeah, it looked nice.
Right, kind of just outside of downtown Sault Ste. Marie. And that was another pain, too, was when we got kicked out, we were starting to call these other hotels, and everywhere was booked because they had a huge hockey tournament. nobody had open rooms.
Oh, man.
So we called, like, 10 different places, and we ended up calling there, and they're like, yeah, we've got, like, 5 rooms left. And so we went over there, and they were just awesome, like, mom-and-pop-type motel. Just exactly what you think about when you go to a small town or northern Michigan is that's the homeliness and the hospitality that you kind of expect being in a small town. So it was just awesome. They came through big time for us. And,
it's called the Budget Host Crestview Inn. You tweeted it out.
What it was.
But the Days Inn, they wanted you to DM them. Did they end up doing anything for you? Like the corporate?
When a couple of my first tweets started like going crazy and like people started responding, Days In kind of like sent me a message like, can you please stop blasting us in public? This is kind of embarrassing for us. Can we please? And I'm like, nope, I'm going. At this point, I'm full throttle. I'm going off. I'm not, there's no justifying it. So in my mind, it's like they wanted me to send your reservation number and this and your address and your phone number and the email. But, and I'm like, nah, I'm like, that just seems like a waste. I don't want a fucking gift basket from you guys. Like, you know, that's not going to bring any change to what this hotel is doing up there, you know? So, it was just, and I had so many people up there that they were like, well, we're so sorry. Your trip was bad. And I said, no, like I think I even tweeted out a couple of times. I said, I love Northern Michigan. I love Sault Ste. Marie. I love, you know, being able to go up there and just kind of escape the busyness, the life down here in Metro Detroit. And I'm not going to let one fucking night at a really shitty hotel ruin that for me. So overall, it was a really good weekend. It was just like, that just one night. And I mean, we were all kind of coming up with theories of like what was going on at the hotel, which I can't accuse anybody of doing anything that I don't know.
I got one in my head.
It was just like, well, you start thinking like, is it a front for something else? If he's comfortable throwing out guests that like, you think they would need, like, obviously he doesn't care about the money. So, you know, you start thinking about other shit that's going on, but
I always go to the mob.
I'm glad we got out of there.
it's a money laundering thing.
We threw out some money, especially being so close to, you know, Canada right there. I mean, who knows, you know, so.
Well, your son will never forget this weekend. I guarantee you that. That's going to be very memorable. You said you were creating memories.
Although, unfortunately, they did not win the championship.
Oh, I was going
to
ask.
No, we didn't. We lost to Sault Ste. Marie. We lost to St. Clair Shores. They got a really solid team out there. They've had our number all year, actually. But, no, it was fun. It was a fun weekend. You know, the only thing that was just kind of weird to me, and I hate to, like, you know, I love police officers. Many people in my family have, you know, police officers and served in the Army and the military, and it's an impossible job. But there was one point at the end of the night where the one cop was like being really cool, and he's like, we're so sorry, blah blah blah, there's just nothing we can do, our hands are tied. And the other cop was like, hurry up, pack your shit, let's go, you gotta pack your shit now. Ooh. Go. And the dads are like, one of the dads like, buddy, like, I'm trying to call other places to see where I can go, like, it's cold outside. I've got kids. And he's like, well, you got a car, go turn your heat on. And I'm like, okay, dude, that comment was like, it's so, like 20 degrees outside. You're basically telling them to like, just go sleep in your car. Like,
sounds like good cop, bad cop to me.
That's exactly what it was.
Hey, TJ, listen, we got to run. I hope you can send us this piece of tape, though. That would be great. We would love to peruse it. For any future audio,
I'll get you some good audio.
Go back to your room. Go back to your room.
Go back to your room.
Yeah, you go back.
I'm in my room right now.
Stay in your room, and we'll get back to you, man. Thanks, TJ.
All right, great stuff. Yeah, thanks, Drew. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Great story. All right. Wow, TJ just gave us about, let's see, that's
awesome.
2 days,
yeah.
A half hour a day. I mean, you got to love when people generate material like that.
Well, what a, go back to your room.
Yeah,
that's so fucking funny. I hope we get that tape.
And throwing half.
I just really want to see it.
Throwing half the people out in one night.
Are you guys laughing your ass off?
Yes.
Well, it's funny how many things in the bad reviews happened to him too.
Right.
I know. Well, the heater. Why? What's with those heaters? By the way, those heaters should be outlawed. Why would any hotel in 2020 have those stupid
radiators?
Yeah, the radiators are terrible.
They're terrible too because they get moist and moldy inside, and so you're like, you kick them on and then you just breathe mold all night long.
I hear you.
They don't seem safe.
No, they're not.
They just don't. Well, it blows sparks, but I do it sometimes.
You need to guess that.
No big
That's
deal.
Really funny.
All right. Well, it appears, let's see what I need to do here. I know what I need to do. I need to mention our friends at Zut Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, where they're kicking off the Jeep Celebration event. And we start with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass, as low as $155 a month. The Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, go lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4, as low as $188 a month. And then Pure Performance poured in your SUV that drives like a sports car. Go lease the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at $343 a month. And no odds complete without talking about the Jeep Wrangler. They got them, and you can get your specs too. See details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Yes.
And let's see. Did I mention Dr. Yell? No, I didn't mention Dr. Yell yet. They're still doing their topography, their custom topography guided LASIK. They're still doing their multifocal lens replacements if you're over 45. If you want to see small print and everything else for as long as you live, all these surgeries, they're doing them on a regular basis now after taking time out to get all the protocols and all the COVID issues aside and taken care of. And now that they're back, they're offering $1,500 off the regular price. If you bring a friend, you'll get an additional half-off surgery. It'll pay for itself, and the money you'll save on eye exams and all the contact lens and glasses and reading glasses that you spend for every year. Get an evaluation from Dr. Yaldo, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And then remember, too, if you're in the Rochester area, they now have a third location in Rochester on Rochester Road, just north of M59. So there. And if you're facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam's been helping men like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. So don't take a chance with the future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys you want. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM.
This is breaking Stephen Hawking news. I repeat, breaking news for the Hawk.
Team Hot Wheels.
It's, I think, the first breaking Hawk news we've ever had.
I like that he's doing
the breaking. Hey, guys, and Trudy.
Hi, Hawk. I like that he's Hawk. Doing his own sounder.
Pretty cool.
Very I just rare. Wanted you to know that my first podcast is Reedy.
Oh, it's Reedy?
Oh, it's Ready. Reedy. You know, that system is still a little few kinks in the...
It's only...
Shit.
He's only had it for, what, 50 years? Well, we're Reedy when you are.
Just wanted to let you know.
Well, are you Reedy or not? Let's go.
Yeah, is this you were talking about, or Brandon was talking about a trailer possibly for this...
I don't know. You guys are going to have to tell me if you like it and if you want to have it added onto the Red Shovel Network or not.
You want to hear it now.
Yes, we're Reedy.
Yeah, explain what exactly it is, Brandon. What's the Hawk offering up here?
So, apparently the Hawk got a little fired up during Carl's segment from Who Are These Podcasts? And took it upon himself to create actually a couple different shows.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a pain in the ass. He did give us this one right here. Where the hell is it? I'm sorry.
What, Hawk?
I was talking about who are these pornos.
Yeah, who are these porn stars?
Yeah, that was a great idea.
Yeah, breaking down the porn stars.
And, oh, wow. Yeah.
Who does? Nobody does that.
Nobody does that. You know, who they are, their acting chops.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's in Carl's wheelhouse.
Why shouldn't one want to get to know?
Although some people are saying that's kind of a ripoff of what Dave Attell did with Dave's old porn. But,
I don't know. I'd have to hear how Hawk presents it.
It's the sincerest form of flattery, right, Hawk?
Yes. I guess. Hold on. I'm finding it right now. I don't know why he didn't put it in the correct...
Oh, wow. There's already a rift between the two people on Hawk's
show. It's showtime.
Trust me. There's a rift between us. I don't like producing a show. In fact, I'm going to ask Mark to take over after this pilot
he's
episode.
Dead,
but here we
right?
go.
Wait. Whose show is who's harder to deal with, him or Bob Page?
No comment.
It's showtime.
It's Carl's music.
W-A-T-P.
W-A-T-P.
W-A-T-P. Welcome to another exciting episode of Who Are These Porn Stars?
Yeah, all right.
I am your host, Stephen the Hawk Hawking. I'm sure you've heard of me. Broadcasting live from
the chair.
That's right, the chair. With me as always is my producer and my bitch, Brandon. How are you doing today, Brandon?
Thank you, Hawk. I'm excited to be a part
Whatever.
Of... I'm excited to be a part of the show, and I can't wait to see...
Nobody gives a shit. Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
Welcome to my first podcast of Who Are These Porn Stars? a show that highlights and praises the work done by our adult entertainers.
Right on.
Tell me, Brandon, who are your favorite porn stars?
Oh, that's a good question, I guess. You know, I guess I don't have a favorite per se.
Bullshit.
Well, you know, I tend to enjoy the work of Madison Ivy and Mary Queen with two R's.
I remember her.
Madison or Mary?
Mary. I nailed her inside of a custom submarine once.
A custom submarine?
Yeah.
What were you doing in a custom submarine?
On my way to some guy's island.
Really? Care to elaborate?
No.
All right.
Moving on.
Wait. Hawk, you never gave your favorite porn star. Do you have a favorite one?
Not really. I banged Linda Lovelace in the early 70s.
Whoa.
So she is cool.
No way.
But Tracy Lords really knows how to gyrate, so she might be my favorite.
Oh, yeah, the famous ones.
We had a limited time frame today, and Brandon's stupid questions prevented me from getting into the meat and potatoes of the show.
Jeez, sorry. I didn't know we had a limited time.
Quiet.
All right.
In upcoming episodes, we will count down the top-rated porn stars on a little website called Pornhub. Ever heard of Pornhub, Brandon?
Sure, yeah. It's like number one website for adult entertainment, right?
Correct. It is way better than X-Hamster.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I said quiet. Thank you for joining us in our debut episode.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Shut the fuck up. In the coming weeks, we will deep dive into the hottest bitches on the planet. Many of which I have totally bagged.
You're right.
From me and my chair and my dipshit producer, Brandon.
Hey, man.
See you guys on the next episode of WATP. Who are these porn stars?
Thanks, everybody.
Good luck ripping on this show, Carl.
You're throwing down shots.
It's good to hear the Hawk just still being productive.
It's just a pilot episode.
I don't like how he asks Brandon questions and then gives him shit when he answers them. That's kind of rude.
He doesn't listen. I mean, like a lot of hosts. And that's one of the things that WATP, the original WATP, I think, cracks on is hosts that don't listen.
Don't listen. I don't want to criticize Hawk, too. Can you maybe get some clips next time?
That'd be nice.
That's what I suggested. I said, why don't we just at least start the countdown? And he said no. And
well, at least he didn't ask you, when did you guys first meet? Is that what Rob Lowe asked? Or how long?
Oh, yeah.
What was the question?
When did you first meet me?
When did you first meet me?
Yeah. That would have been something a Hawk could do.
Oh, boy.
His ego.
Well, we have a boner line today, too.
We do, yeah.
So, we'll get that.
Did Hawk call it to complain about Brandon?
Don't give him any ideas. Hey, did you guys, I know Mark, you saw 60 Minutes. Did you see 60 Minutes, Trudy?
Yes. Oh, wow. Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Holy
that
cripe.
Beginning to end, great episode.
If only TJ Lang had been on that flight. And
Alexei Navalny.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
The Putin opponent. That was really, I don't know. I'm just not that fascinated by Fauci. I've seen a lot of Fauci. I realize what he does is important, but anyway.
Well, I think the only thing interesting in the Fauci interview, which was the middle act, was the fact that he has to go on a walk with protection because of all the death threats that he's got. Why is who is threatening to kill Dr. Fauci?
You know,
how much power does Dr. Fauci have?
There's a story today that actually illustrates, in my opinion, just how fucked up all this stuff has become. Because, you know, I was kind of stuck on the same thing. Like,
I'm going to kill you, Dr. Fauci.
What is wrong with people? We really are the United States of assholes in so many ways. And today it was this simple story locally. Let me see if I can find it.
By the way, are those people going to be using the PT Cruiser as the kidnapping vehicle for Dr. Fauci as well?
Probably.
PT Cruiser has never had so much publicity.
Those videos, that video, the guys who are doing little videos of him changing his cartridges and how quickly.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, oh my God, I can't. How old are you? Okay, wait, here it is.
That's a great question. That's the only question that should ever be asked to them in court is, how old are you?
Okay, there's
kidnap the governor?
On the topic of Fauci and him needing protection, this, I mean, no one needs protection in this story, except for maybe the victims in the story. But there's a story in the Detroit News today about two Michigan State linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
Who were arrested in a fraternity house incident, which is like, hey, what are they doing in a fraternity? Fraternities are having parties during COVID. And it was about a month ago. It was Luke Fulton and Charles Willikas. And I don't know. Do these guys play? Are they important players? I don't even think they are, really.
I don't recognize
them. I'm not familiar with them. But they're suspended indefinitely. And this happened while the season was postponed, but one of them was charged with aggravated assault, and he got a $1,000 bond, and the other guy was charged, or he was arrested, but it said his record is in non-public status. I don't know what that means exactly, or why it would be what he did that makes it so non-public. But they said the arrest logs show an aggravated felony assault, non-family strong arm? What the hell is that? Anyway, so, you know, no shocking big deal, just, you know, another football player's in trouble story, and it doesn't sound like it's anything too horrific, although we'll probably find out more. So I don't even know why I do this, but I hit the comments, and the first comment is, any word on whether they were driving the athletic director's car?
Oh, I get it, yeah.
Really?
Like Xavier Simpson.
What? I mean...
Good one.
Always has to go back to the other. Yeah.
Why? The other why are you pulling that out of the sky? And I mean, if it's your team, your guys are in trouble. So what? So what? I mean, you didn't do anything.
Good one.
So it's. I guess it's. It mean. What you're saying is, oh, you did something worse.
Yeah.
Well, I think driving the athletic director's car is probably better than assaulting people.
But I would say so. Yeah.
Anyway, the next comment, and I'm just shaking my head reading this. Hey, Andersonville is so much better at cover-ups. I'll give them leaders and best at doing that.
Good one.
Then there's, let's see. I'm sure roids are involved one way or the other. You have to wonder if this involves sexual assault. This is the landfill we're dealing with.
Ha! Good one.
Yeah, the landfill, whatever. So that's, I guess, some Michigan person coming back. Then, great reporting, Chris. This happened 6 weeks ago, and you still have zero details. You're really on top of things. So they're ragging the reporter because he should have reported it
when it
sooner.
Happened. The second it happened, he should have been there.
Burn, facial, suck it.
Hey, does that really affect the story? I mean,
no, we're just finding out about it now, right? I don't think anybody else had it before then. And one is still in non-public status, whatever that means.
So then after the, I think this is after the roid comment, somebody says,
if you're talking about roids and sexual assault together, you must be talking about Luan and the chubby kicker conveniently swept under the rug while both kept playing.
That's 6 years ago, 7 years ago,
yeah,
maybe 8 years ago. Oh, brother.
Cool.
I don't know what anybody gets out of this. Then, just for good measure, I'll get back to the Soviet guy, but there's a story today, and I'm like, is this really a story? It's about Whitmer's 86-45 pin.
Yeah.
She's on Meet the Press, and there's an 86-45, which is, you know,
to 86
beat Trump.
Yeah, to get
right?
rid of it.
Yeah. So, apparently... somebody in the Trump campaign claims that Whitmer is encouraging assassination attempts against Trump.
Jesus Christ.
86 is used as shorthand for killing someone. 45 refers to Trump.
Isn't it used for shorthand for killing someone? I thought it was for removal. I mean, but I guess that's the same thing.
Okay,
same difference.
That's what they said, I guess. And so the story then goes to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Oh, Jesus
which
Christ.
Says,
86 is slang for refusing to serve a customer. It can also mean to get rid of or throw out. But then they point out that the Urban Dictionary says entry defines 86 as to get rid of originally for killing someone.
Oh, well.
Wow.
And then they say it's a sneaky way to show support for getting rid of Trump. It's actually in the Urban Dictionary is that. So apparently 86 has been used...
Well, how do they decide what her intent was? Because that's what
it
comes down to.
Come on. Really? Is anybody really going to be inspired by that pin? Somebody's going, 86, I'm going to fucking assassinate him.
Getting in my PT Cruiser.
Right.
And that Merriam, that Webster Dictionary, you can't trust them. They are left-wing politics because of what they did last week when they when they updated their, what was the word?
Preference versus orientation. The day that that came up, the day that, it was a senator who said, who chided Amy Coney Barrett for saying sexual preference and said, oh, that means it's a choice. It's orientation. And so Merriam-Webster Dictionary actually changed it within 24 hours.
Oh my God.
Alluded to that.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
And now it's listed as being offensive. So we're not allowed to say sexual preference anymore because that is offensive.
Did they take that out of the dictionary then or redact it?
They changed it. I'm not sure what it originally said. I mean, I thought it was so stupid, but so clearly this 8645 is a dog whistle from MAGA. Governor Whitmer.
Mm. MAGA.
So anyway, 60 Minutes was the first story was just incredible about this guy who is, he's an opponent of Putin.
He's the main guy. Anytime you see the protests and stuff, it's him or the chess playing dude.
Yeah,
he throws
big events and people show up in the thousands and he's been arrested multiple times. He's been jailed. He's been beaten. And he also, they said, he had green dye with acid splashed in his face.
Did you see the picture of him with green dye in his face?
I didn't, but why do you need acid? Isn't acid bad enough? Do you have to have green dye with the acid?
He looked like a Smurf.
He looked hilarious because he, you know, every time he gets arrested, he takes like a silly picture like, hey, Putin arrested me again. And then this time it was him smiling. His whole body's green and there's people behind him who aren't. Really,
I didn't even see the picture.
He's kind of a badass.
I think I was writing it down. I must have missed it.
The whole idea why this is happening, though, is that he was showing how bougie Putin is.
Oh, yeah.
And now he can add poisoning to his resume.
Did you see the picture?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
Wow. It looks like they held him down and they made his face up perfectly because he was completely green.
Yeah, even his palms are green. Yeah. There he is being arrested. He loves it.
He loves it.
By the way, serious issue, shout out. Wife is smoking hot.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah.
And he's got two kids. And I mean, this is pretty, really, truly dangerous territory because he was poisoned. He was given Novichok. It was put on a water bottle or something.
On the outside of it.
Did you know, with it.
Do you know there's a picture? Well, actually, that might have contradicted, but there was a picture where they thought was the moment he actually got that cup. Right before he got on the plane, but now they're thinking he got it in the hotel, right?
Yeah, they went back to the hotel. He actually had somebody on the ground go back to before they could clean it up.
Yeah, that's
and grab it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think, but he didn't know he was sick until he was on the plane. So how is it that the people that did this didn't just go in the room and
the timeline? Maybe it was a days in though. That's probably what it was.
Could have been. And the people who wanted to get it were told to go back to their room, so they could do it. Well. Novichok is something the average person just can't get.
Yeah.
Can't get it. It's something they're not supposed to even have. But if they did, obviously, it would be controlled by the military. And he said it was military grade. And they're not supposed to have it anyway. So, and it's not something that an average person could probably handle or comfortably, you know, put it on a bottle or whatever they put it on. So it was obviously an inside operation. And to think of how sick this guy is on a fucking plane.
Sure.
Oh, my God. The horror. Think about that. And they have a little piece of audio where he's moaning.
Yeah.
That explanation, though, where he said, I didn't feel like pain, but I knew I was dying. It's so
like,
weird.
Didn't he sound like he was in pain, though?
He did sound like he was in pain. But my body knew it was dying. Maybe it's the translation.
It was kind of weird. It was kind of strange.
Here it is.
Also,
and I'm going to die. And I immediately lay down under his feet.
Alexei Navalny was on a flight to Moscow from Siberia, where he'd been campaigning against Putin's party in a local election when he collapsed with no pain, but knowing he was dying.
Actually, every cell of your body just telling you that's body. We are done.
One of the other passengers turned on his phone and captured Navalny moaning
in anguish. Why would someone record this?
The pilot
sounds
like Louis Anderson.
I know, it's just weird.
Thinking Navalny must be a drug addict, administered the usual treatment for an overdose and rushed him to a local hospital where they said he wasn't poisoned but wouldn't let him leave for days.
Well, it was a big fight, and
didn't they know who he is when they're giving him Narcan? Wait, you're Navalny.
I'm sure they know.
Poison would be untraceable, and they just keep me there until this 48 hours will be gone.
After 48 hours, it's not traceable. Come on, man.
So the team on the ground were allegedly Putin's people.
So they can get the hospital to force him to stay there, even though they know he's going to die?
He can do
and
anything.
These medical people will just go along with it?
Can he do anything?
I guess so.
I don't want to get Novichok'd.
He has control over the courts, the police, the media, what have you, I guess. But anyway, they induced a coma, and when he woke up, he starts having hallucinations.
The Germans did this.
And he can't speak, he can't write. It just sounds like just this horrific thing. I didn't really get a feel for
Russia hoax.
The Germans.
Was there a point where he was really in incredible pain? Did he say that last night? I didn't think he did.
Well,
I assume he was miserable.
Just when every cell told him he's dying. Hey, buddy, you're dying. He's got some pretty cool cells.
He was in rehab still on 60 Minutes. This is a long time after it happened, and said he feels wooden like the Tin Man.
Yeah.
That was an interesting reference.
Freakish.
So, I mean, Jesus Christ, what an insane fucking thing. They hold him for 48 hours. They won't let him out, even though they know he needs to go to a better hospital that is schooled in this type of problem. And indeed, they let him out for 48 hours. He flies to Berlin and has the protection of the German government, and they know essentially how to treat him, and I guess they saved his life. But most people, it sounded like most people would not have lived through this.
Right. Well, a lot haven't.
Yeah, that guy who turned bald.
Yeah, that guy died.
Yeah, he died.
That dude died. And that was, it's funny not how right that story, away, the thing that I always remember about that story is, the guy went bald in like a day. How crazy is that? He's just bald overnight.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I wonder if he stopped for even like 10 minutes to go, oh my God, I'm bald. I mean, he knows he's dying.
Yeah.
It would suck that you're bald, even for a few hours.
How vain. I'm going to bald. Put a wig on me at my funeral.
What? Can I have a wig for my last 10 hours? Jesus Christ. The indignity.
And a good one.
That's just nuts.
I know. It's so fucking nuts.
So they apparently, wouldn't you deduce from this that they have like a refrigerator full of this crap somewhere that they could slip in wherever?
Well, of course. KGB, yeah.
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 I would assume.
Because they're not supposed to, but supposedly they also, you know, have smallpox in a locker somewhere. So.
Oh, great.
Good times.
Russia, Russia, Russia.
Good times.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was a.
Oh, that was harsh.
Wild story.
It's going to happen. I mean,
I don't know why this reminds me, just because it's a medical story, but the 20 year old girl, Tamisha Beauchamp, who was declared dead, and then at the funeral, at the funeral home, they unzipped the bag and she's alive.
Yeah.
She was breathing.
Yay.
And so she was then taken to the hospital and she lived, but then she died in the last day. She died.
Yep.
She'd been pronounced dead by the paramedics in Southfield, and relatives had expressed concern that she had a pulse and that she was indeed breathing, but they were told that was normal because of medication or something. It was a really weird story. And then as far as the paramedics, their licenses were suspended. They were on paid leave, and then I think they and a couple additional paramedics have filed suit saying that there was no due process and that they should not have been suspended without some sort of procedure. And the whole thing is a mess because now Figer said that she died from brain damage when she was declared dead and deprived of oxygen. Now, I don't know if they mean...
because she was zipped up in a bag.
She should have been put on oxygen because of what happened to her, or because she was zipped in a bag, she didn't have enough oxygen. I don't know, but they have a big lawsuit.
Great lawyer.
And they probably already had one before she died, but now probably haven't. I know. It's just a terror rod story. It sucks. So, there you go.
Cool. watching the Navalny story, I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to complain about flying again, like in a bad flight, because here's this guy dying. And then when they got to the third story of 60 Minutes, I was like, I'm really never going to complain about flying, because it was, what do they call it, the flight from hell?
Yeah.
Did you see that story?
My 60 Minutes kicked off.
Oh, my God.
I didn't, because 60 Minutes started at, I don't know, 10 minutes late.
Because of football?
Yeah. Does your TV record the whole 60 Minutes no matter when it starts?
Yeah, because I cut the cord. So YouTube TV will do that. It's smart enough to go, no, nah, here's where it starts.
What? Okay. Can regular TV really? They don't care figure out you. How to do that?
They don't care about you.
I mean, I find it so stupid that they always start 60 minutes late. They never make the starting time. They never take the chance that it'll start even 2 minutes early. Mm-hmm. It always starts late. And it just, when you record on conventional television,
yep.
You never get the whole 60 minutes.
That's right.
You have to record the show after it, which I do. Occasionally, I do remember to do that if I know something special is on 60 minutes. But generally speaking, 60 minutes cuts off at some point, whenever I watch it.
So the final story was about 3 days in to real COVID, when COVID first really hit here big in the United States. This cruise was leaving Miami to head across the Atlantic Ocean, one of those really long cruises. And they're like, there's something going on with COVID. It's not here yet.
Yeah, whatever.
And about 5 days in, everyone on the boat is coughing. And I guess they got media reports, so they knew that these other cruise ships were having problems, so people were kind of like, oh, crap, we got COVID. Mm. So they were ready for them in France. They dock in France. People on the ship had contacted family members, media, representatives, too, they said, here in the United States, saying, hey, there's going to be COVID on this ship.
COVID-19!
The cruise liner paid for a flight to fly everybody back to America that were that were American, which was a surprise to even them. And then all hell really broke loose on the flight, which was ridiculous.
But even before that, when they offload them in France, they cluster them all up into this place, and then everybody's coughing all over everybody else. try to sort them out.
Yeah.
Hours.
Did they sort the ones that weren't coughing and didn't have symptoms from the ones that did?
No, hell no.
Not at all.
So they all were. So then you get everybody sick, and then they're all sick.
Everybody's sick. Yeah,
they thought they would be quarantined because, once again, they saw the media stories of the one being quarantined. Was it in San Diego and then one in San Francisco and then a couple in China? So they thought, oh, we're just going to be stuck here and be quarantined. But they're like, no, we're gonna fly you guys home to Atlanta.
Like, which is great.
Okay, cool. That's where the CDC is. Three people immediately start passing out on the plane.
Oh, God.
Everyone's it's a nine-hour flight.
Yeah, everyone's coughing. They land.
A nine-hour flight COVID really bad.
Nice.
They land, and then the captain just comes out. He's like,
and apparently nobody knew we were arriving here, and you're stuck on this plane a little longer. Please try to cough into your sleeve or your arm and wash your hands over.
If you look out the right of the plane, you're looking at the concrete you'll be looking at for the next 3 hours until they figure this out.
Yes,
Roger.
It's true.
You're going nowhere.
I know some of you have lost your taste and your smell, but that's probably for the better at this point.
So here's what had this. This is my favorite part, though.
But what up with the CDC?
It's crazy.
Really? Really?
It's true.
Come on.
This story is so maddening about the lack of communication. But here's
but they flew them to Atlanta.
What's that?
Because the CDC is there, right?
I think so, or just because that's a big airport.
Instead, the decision was made to treat them like any other Americans returning from Europe in
March
by having them fill out a health questionnaire. But about an hour before the plane was to touch down, the CDC's plan blew up. Remember earlier when we told you about those French medics who screened the passengers in the ship lounge? It turns out the French tested 4 Americans for COVID, and 3 were positive and on the plane.
Oops.
That news surprised the CDC. They had to scramble together a team to go to the jet. Jenny Catron got sick of waiting.
And at that point, I just get on the phone and I call 911.
Great move.
You called 911 from the plane?
Yes.
I love when people do this.
Now, the 911
operator. Oh, the 911 call is great.
How do you think the 911 operator should react or is going to react?
I don't think she'll know what the fuck to do.
My name is Jennifer Catron. I am on a plane. We just came over from France. Mm-hmm. I had 9 medical emergencies that I had to handle on this plane from France over to here. Mm-hmm. We're waiting for the CDC because we have possible coronavirus cases on board.
Mm-hmm.
I have people passing out.
3 more hours passed before the door.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
4 hours.
First people to board the plane.
There were 2 or 3 different girls They said that they were from the CDC. They were dressed in plastic. And they're like, okay, well, we need these three people that had tested positive in Marseille. So they get those three people off. And she goes, okay, now I need the people that have fevers and coughs. And the steward looks at him. She goes, honey, they're all sick.
The three positive passengers were taken to a hotel. Everybody else went to a cargo building where they were checked by the CDC for fever and filled out a short questionnaire.
Again,
nobody was given a COVID test. And some passengers told us they saw people with symptoms get through.
There were people, get this, their temperature was too high. So the CDC had them sit in chairs and wait.
That's a good
and
move.
See if it got lower.
It's probably what I would do if I was in charge.
I just sit over there. We'll take some Tylenol that should lower your fever, and we'll check you in a few minutes.
Yeah, and then
that didn't work out well, did it?
And then they're just like,
that didn't work out well at all, did it?
Bye, and all those people take off from all points to everywhere else. So
nice CDC. I mean, it is government,
is,
so
by the
I
way,
guess it's not entirely.
You
gotta wonder,
that is the dictionary definition of a clusterfuck, is what that was.
You got to wonder, too. Remember when they closed the borders to China, except for all the Americans that were there could come fly back, and there was a mad rush to fly back? You have to wonder if that spread it all over the place, too, just like this did. If they had no manner of testing and tracking these people, once again, they should just sunk the cruise ship.
Yeah, I expect more.
Some people are saying that.
I expect more of the CDC. I don't know why, but I do.
But
I mean, it is government.
They fucked up.
Every step along the way, though, in France, it fucked up. And at the airport, it fucked up.
Remember the CDC? We wouldn't use the World Health Organization's tests either. We had to make our own, which put us back behind by a month. Good, nice job, CDC.
Oh, brother.
It's a wild story, though, if anybody...
I remember thinking that they were, the best ever in the entire world at one point.
Well, they probably still are. That's what's even
good
frightening, Trudy.
Back in the day.
Luke Nowacki wants to remind you, if you don't have a financial plan, you should. You should be thinking about your future, even if you're maybe a little older than when you should have started thinking about your future. It's never too late to call Pinnacle Wealth Strategies and talk to Luke Nowacki. The sooner you can look forward, the better, obviously. 248-663-4748. But you won't be judged if you're a little behind the curve. Maybe it's the college plan, the 529, or some kind of college savings plan. Maybe it's your 401k or your pension or your investments or having a balanced portfolio. Any of those reasons are good reasons to call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Not to mention that he promotes and sponsors all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
On the network here, so.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Market got hammered today, too, so call them. A good time to buy.
Is there some reason?
I think they just the futures are up because they're like, ooh, stimulus is coming, and then it doesn't come, and there's no talk of moving it. So they're just like, all right, fuck it.
They've done a great job with the stimulus, I got to say, because it's only been over 2 months since it ran out.
Yep.
And they have really done a great job of compromising, reaching across the aisle, and doing what's best for the people.
People's savings are running out now because still a lot of unemployment.
What about people who didn't have savings to begin with? What are those people doing? What's happening to them now?
It's a great question.
Oh, there are a lot of people
they're doing podcasts.
Who are having a pretty hard time.
Yeah.
You know, what can you say? Dr. Roche wants you to know that...
MAGA!
No, not that. But if you look in the mirror and you want to wear a mask just to cover up all the wear and tear on your face, then you should go see Dr. Roche because he can possibly take that face and roll back the miles on your mug and your bod. I just went in for resurfacing with Morpheus 8 microneedling and radio frequency. It builds up collagen. You look fresher immediately. And then over time, it continues to build collagen and you look better as you go along. 6 months, 12 months down the road. Same with Skin Tight and Neck Tight. And Pronox is part of the procedure. That's a nitrous oxygen mix that literally kept me laughing the entire procedure. Also, October specials, $5,800 for Evolve Body Sculpting. It's usually $5,800. It's $2,500 now, and they have many other October specials. You should call them to find out what you need to work on and what they can help you with. 248-338-1110 or go to droche.com to see actual before and after pictures of how people were helped. And that's what I got.
Cool. I guess he can bring us the boner line today.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
If we're ready for that, because Brandon, hard at work. A lot of production today, Brandon.
Yeah.
You're muted, I think.
I
see his lip. His lips are moving, but nothing. Why were you muted? Were you getting dinner?
I had to trade dinner for a dog.
Oh, the boat. You know what? Dr. Roche does work on dudes, so it boners? Does sort of qualify.
Okay.
Why not? We talked about some of certain things, but
boner line number 100
wants to
and 50.
Grand Don, thank you for finally doing another boner line.
Quiet.
I am a huge fan of all of your drops. I'm always dropping your drops, leaving my friends and family confused. But I must say, those drops from Sophia with an F, that might end me. I feel triggered. Her voice is awful.
Ew.
I wanted to mention some words that are ruined for me now. Like, Drew, you have maybe.
Maybe.
And bikini.
Bikini.
For me, it's when Axl Rose drops the mic. So anytime someone says well and there's a pause after it, I just go,
well.
And then footage. Every time I say the word footage, I say it like Jackson.
We have the footage. I have all the footage.
So, you know that Mandela effect thing that Maz's daughter's obsessed with?
Really?
Where reality kind of gets changed and nobody really notices it? Well, I think that may have been happening or is happening to some of the drops. I think they're experiencing some Mandela effects.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Two of them that I've noticed. One is that hot, like, dirty-sounding fart that Brandon constantly plays when Drew's imitating those gross housewives that bitch about everything, the weird fart. Did that all of a sudden get longer?
No.
That's the first one. And then the other one I noticed just listening to an older show one day is the one where Trump sounds like his dentures are falling out, and he says, God bless the United States.
God bless the United States.
I feel like that one all of a sudden has a longer ending to it, too.
No.
I don't know. It's just weird. And so now all I'm doing is listening to the drops. It's almost like a lot of them have become extended all of a sudden. It's really bizarre.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to that song about listening to a boring story. I don't know if I've ever had a song speak to me more on a personal level.
Think about it. Do I really want to know every single boring detail of this horrible story?
Self-confessed Van Halen geek here. I think Brandon needs to shut up and sit down and realize that he didn't grow up in the area, so he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Sit down and shut up, Brandon. Van Hager was far better.
Yeah, right.
I'm Van Hagar all the way.
Oh, God.
When I hear a David Lee Roth song, all I hear Eddie's guitar and the stupid noises that that guy always makes in the background.
Mark, couldn't agree with you more about Mark Vincente from The Vow.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That guy is just such a weasel. The more I've heard about cults and cult leaders end up banging not just the chicks in the cult. They end up banging a bunch of the guys in the cult. Is it just me, or do you think Mark Vincente's been nailing Keith Raniere, too?
Are you the main guy, or are you the one who gets it?
Guys, I watched the Chris Watts documentary, and, you know, I did some research afterwards, and a lot of people are questioning Trent Bolte's authenticity.
I wish I'd never met him.
They're questioning whether or not he's even legitimate or credible.
Yeah.
So you need to do some more investigation on that, because, I mean, I don't want to stop here.
Oh, that highlight, though. That fucking highlight, though.
About that idiot that called about the blocking the genes.
Hey, Bill Gates.
Yeah, that's what some medications do. I got a type of leukemia, and I take an oil medication to block a gene called the Philadelphia gene.
Bad things happen in Philadelphia. Bad things.
That's how you stop disease. That guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
You're in the cult, bro!
Two of the guys, I think they're brothers, who are in the Whitmer kidnapping plot, their last name is Null. And null, N-U-L-L, is a synonym for the word zero. So these two fuckwads are actually, technically,
Zero.
Didn't.
Good one.
How long you been waiting to crack out that gem? Good one.
I feel like you guys have been as negligent as I've ever seen you. I mean, you're covering stupid stuff like COVID-19, the election, you know, all these different things that no one cares about, and you missed the fart on Fargo. It's an epic fart. I mean, how could you guys have missed this thing? So I'm going to try to play it through the phone to give you a little taste of what you're not covering and let you know that you got to do your job. Don't make me do it for you. So just listen to what you missed. Come on, guys. Get on the ball.
That scene was so gross. You watch Fargo, right, Trudy?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Love that show. But that scene was really, really gross because there's a little bit of puking. And
oh, my God.
Isn't that right out of the gate, too? Right in the first episode? Or
first or second? No. It was last week's.
Yeah.
I think it was.
A lot of tension over who was going to, you know, eat that.
And then they had cleaned the money. Spoiler alert, which was gross because it was covered in feces.
That's like the series that I really, really wanted to see. I want to see that series, and I know that every season is kind of different.
So
you don't have to watch them in order per se, but season just the one, fact that the movie Fargo was so fantastic that I wanted to see these, and I need to catch up.
So far, this one has not grabbed me the way the first three have.
Yeah, me neither.
First season is by far the best, and then probably
this is the one with Chris Rock, right?
Yeah,
this is the new one. Yeah, first season has Billy Bob Thornton. The third one is really good too because it's got Ewan McGregor.
Oh my God, that one is amazing.
And who's the weird guy? He's also the shame ghost.
David Thewlis, yeah, I think his name is. Yeah,
so fucking good in that. Yeah.
He was in the Harry Potter movies too, so real range for that dude. Yeah.
I could not stop laughing though when the guy said that about Mark Vicente from The Vow. The Vow, the NXIVM 9-part documentary, wrapped up last night. Wow. Spoiler, wraps up with them arresting Keith Raniere. I don't think that's that much of a surprise. But we talk about how much we want to punch this guy. He's just got a very punchable face. And I think he hit full punchability last night in this scene.
Keith Raniere, like Vanguard. I didn't know what it was, and I just like opened it up and I read it, and I was like, what the
fuck? He's talking about a file in his computer he read.
And it's basically, it's like a story idea
that
he came up with.
So it's fiction.
And basically about like a corporation where there's like a good guy that's running the corporation, and there's like this mentor character, and the good guy kind of realizes that there's a psychopath that's in the system trying to destroy everything.
Wow, man, just like
and
real
the punchline
life
in the end is that he realizes that the mentor, who he thought was a good guy, is actually the psychopath,
just like you realize with Raniere.
And it just
duh,
I was fucking horrified because it's like, you fucker, 10 years ago, you showed me exactly what you were going to do to me.
Ooh. Yeah, and you let it happen, and you enabled him.
And I know this is what he wanted, because this is fun.
Even after your wife left.
It was the best practical joke ever.
Wow. Really? That was the best practical joke? Because it's not that good of a practical joke.
Very dramatic.
There is another great moment in last night's episode. So Mark's wife, Bonnie, is the one who left early. And I think it was Bonnie they were talking about. And she talks about how Keith really tries to control people.
Yeah.
And that she, God, I want to say it was either Bonnie or his, one of his ex-girlfriends. And she's like, we used to go out on, did you watch the finale of The Vow, Drew? Drew's back.
I watched part of it. I didn't, I watched enough to get a really good laugh or two in.
Okay.
Which part are you on?
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
All right. He asked me.
It's
just Josina-ing in.
It's the part where Bonnie, who is the wife of the guy we want to punch in the face, who was just crying.
Uh-huh.
I played the part where he was crying. I don't know if you saw that last night.
I didn't get that far.
He was crying because he read a fictional story Keith gave him 10 years earlier, which laid out exactly what happened. Fucking baby.
Oh, God.
So here's Bonnie talking about one of their late night walks that she had with Keith. And listen to this masterful manipulation that a man does to a woman.
You think you're a hard worker?
That's Keith.
Yeah, sometimes, in some ways, in some areas.
If you put your mind to it, can you be a hard worker in whatever you do?
Yeah, if I'm connected to it and I'm on a mission, then
a lot of ifs.
Yeah.
It's
brilliant. I just start to think about like the plans that I have now. It seems like what you're proposing is just...
He likes to take these walks at night, by the way, to wear people out when they're tired, talk circles around them.
Mm-hmm.
If you truly don't want the answer, have the respect for both of us not to ask.
What an ass.
For you to say that I'm proposing that is either an excuse or a misconstruence.
Okay.
You really think I propose that?
I mean, I think anything that I say right now is coming out as excuses.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just want to change.
She just played right into his hands.
Maybe this is like a big turning point.
Here comes the best
line. I guess
line.
I need to work the fears because there's a lot of them right now.
Cut through them.
Yeah.
Don't honor them. Can you, get over this?
Can you get over this, please?
Not that hard.
Okay.
Loosen up.
Loosen up.
There it goes. Stop trying to hold it all. Stop trying to control so much.
Let me, Vanguard, control you.
Cry, just wail out, man.
Mark.
You look terrible.
It's like a director's cut.
You look beautiful when you don't.
Did you catch that? Did you catch that
you look
there?
Terrible when you cry?
Yes, he just doesn't want her crying.
You're controlling right now. You're controlling your cry.
You're not the crier.
Wail out.
Face it.
You look terrible when you control.
Oh, my God.
You look beautiful when you don't.
Wow. What a head fake.
He's such an asshole.
Wow. I don't understand any of the things that he's saying, though.
Because he's not saying anything.
There's no... It's not tangible in any way.
Well, it's...
He just talks circles around people.
It's fake. It's gobbledygook. It's psychobabble bullshit. But people are looking for that stuff, I guess.
I have to tell you, I was just... I didn't laugh out loud, but I could have laughed out loud when they started to take on clients. You know, these are people who are basically... You know, paying outrageous prices for these stupid classes, which teach you nothing, and you're only eligible for if you're a less than good looking guy or you're a fantastic looking woman. and in Mexico, you know, with the cartels and whatnot, of course they're having all these kidnappings and beheadings, and you know, the cartels. What's going on down there is absolute madness, and I knew it was bad, but until I really started paying attention to the story of Pablo Escobar and El Chapo and some of the great series they've had on Netflix. I didn't realize quite how bad it was. I mean, it was bad.
El Chapo.
I mean, they just kill so many people. It's like, I mean, you think the Clintons kill a lot of people when they go 33, 34. These people are just absolutely nuts.
In the thousands.
And so when he starts pulling in these rather influential people in Mexico into NXIVM, which is like, what? They're going international? And he gets this one guy in there who is...
I was really just having a little fun.
He calls... Well, he didn't call him. The crying baby. The crying filmmaker.
Yeah, Mark Vicente.
And Mark the soft guy. He calls him the JFK Jr. of Mexico because his father was... Was his father the president of Mexico?
I think so. Yeah. He was kidnapped.
And so he is, you know, bringing, we have these terrible problems in Mexico with kidnapping. And, you know, I was kidnapped and they cut my both ears off and a finger. And it's, you know, it's just a terrible story. It's true. So Keith Raniere, Vanguard, says, I've got the answer. He's going to solve the problem with the cartels kidnapping and killing people.
Oh, wow. An international problem that has been going on for decades. Huh?
Yeah, and NXIVM, Vanguard, he's the third most intelligent man in the world. He's got the answer. Third highest IQ in the world.
What is it?
Total bullshit. Total bullshit, Trudy. They ran a little, you know, piece of him blabbering, and then I noticed later on...
He's just blabbering every time they talk to him. Was it that, like, the $10 bill story with
Mexico?
Yeah,
that's total stupid. Just ridiculous. Just total... It's common sense, a lot of it. The rest of it's just like, what? And then also at one point, the soft NXIVM member, the crybaby member...
Crybaby, yeah.
He decides that he's going to do a film on it. Yeah, right. And Keith
stupid
has this bullshit sequence about Mexico that, you know, he's how he explains it, how to solve it.
Mexico, or as I like to call it, God's blind spot.
And so NXIVM Mexico members at was it 3 o'clock every Sunday?
Yeah, Mexium.
They start just speaking. I guess having public speeches that are basically saying spewing Keith's bullshit.
Yes, that's what it should have been titled. So spewing Keith's bullshit.
It's so stupid. I'm like, I can't believe how far this bullshit goes.
It worked.
How does the cartel not like cut him down or do something?
Trudy, I'm surprised they didn't hire him to steal more money.
Oh,
I know. Man. He's just positively brilliant at separating people from money. What can you say?
Sure.
So yeah, I didn't finish it. I'm looking forward to finishing it.
I was amazed too that they caught him on security footage in Mexico. Like pretty fast too. Wow. But then again, if he's making all this hay that publicly, it wouldn't be that, I guess, that hard to find.
Well, did they get further into his escape? Because he knew things were coming down on him, and so he just bolts to Mexico.
Yeah.
And the protection of the JFK Jr. of Mexico.
Yeah, they get into all that.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good series. I think 9 episodes is a little too much. They probably could have done it in 3. There's a great scene. Did you see the scene in the finale where...
Oh, was last night the finale?
Yeah. Where
How long is it?
Oh, like an hour.
Oh, it's just an hour. Okay, just like the rest of them.
Where Ranieri was... watching the video that Vicente took, the documentary, or that he was making for the Mexican people.
Where he's really dismissive, like, oh, no. God.
And he's giving just these incredible production notes how to do a documentary to a documentarian.
Yes, and he's just disgusted by certain things he's doing. Oh, God, get that out. That's so boring.
But, Drew, I rewound it and listened extra carefully, and I kind of agreed with Ranieri. Those changes should have been made for that video.
Well, how could you make a video?
You didn't know the audience.
About... what he was doing a documentary on when he was completely poisoned by all Keith's bullshit. I mean, it had to be a horrible documentary if it was ever finished.
Well, it was to separate more Mexicans from their money. Oh. That was the whole point. And he's like, no, you're aiming too high. You're thinking it's for college educated. You want this is for poor people that don't have $10.
Oh,
well.
And then he had to recut parts because of his hair.
What? Why?
You didn't like the way his hair looked.
Keith hair?
Yeah.
Oh.
Keith cared about his hair?
He's very vain.
That hair is intentional. The hair that he wears?
Yeah.
You mean the part?
He was nailing like 20 hot chicks in Nexium.
I'm sorry, I can't see.
When he got arrested.
Not work on me.
Rio, which in essence has most of the issues with respect to your appearance.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, the hair.
The question is... are we trying to get rid of your long hair altogether?
I think ideally.
Okay.
Now that your hair is out of the way, it's much better.
Not bad.
If I were to look at it from the strategic point of view of people who want to make me crazy cult leader.
You're not going to do that, are you? You didn't do that, did you?
You know, especially because of the way the hair is, the way the line shines on it.
The way the light shines on it.
String Maggie almost Rasta at times. If this is going to be a reshoot, I may as well reshoot as much as I can.
Wow. How would you respond to somebody who believes that the cause of violence is poverty?
It is poverty. How do you define poverty? Poverty of what?
You just tie that
money,
together.
Idiot.
Are you rolling?
I'm rolling.
How's exposure? Good?
He does that. Then Ranieri does that thing where he just asks what sound like rhetorical questions, but they're not.
Really?
Well, I think. I don't know.
He's just so full of shit. It's just all about manipulating people. And I just honestly, I cannot believe that those people who seem relatively intelligent could sit through that shit for year after year after year and throw their money at it.
They're looking for
and
answers,
take money
man.
To bring more people in. I mean, I would be ashamed
of myself.
I couldn't
believe that at his age, he was walking around in public with his hair parted down the middle.
Did you guys, and I looked at the notes, did you see the David Lee Roth thing on CBS Sunday morning?
No!
What?
No. On Eddie Van Halen?
No, it was about David Lee Roth and his training as a Japanese comic artist.
What? Sounds like the perfect 15th act.
Why not, even if you had it in the plans, why not just like... shelve it and do
Eddie Van Halen
and get, you know, Roth for a half hour talking about Eddie and do a piece on Eddie. That's so stupid, isn't it? Doesn't it just seem obvious?
It does seem obvious, yeah. But they did sort of, you know, like
did they
reference.
Ask him?
They didn't talk to him about Eddie. No. Mm-mm.
What? It must have been recorded prior to his death.
It probably. And it was
shelve it.
I think that's really, it's disrespectful in a weird way. I mean, I know they didn't mean to be, but they should have gotten some new comments from him.
So they had to begin it with montages from Van Halen and him doing his, like, oh, you know,
sweet.
Like all of his gyrating dances and
he
stuff.
He looks terrible, by the way.
I know. And then they show, of course, Eddie walking on the table during Hot for Teacher, Mark's favorite scene ever. And said, and to their credit, they said he was arguably the greatest guitarist of all time.
Ooh,
so,
wow.
And
then they don't like that.
They cut from that to then David Lee talking about how he studied this Japanese art for 2 years.
Did he say some ridiculous stuff?
Oh my God, such ridiculous stuff.
All of them done freehand in ink made from a centuries-old formula.
Who cares?
You may not be familiar with the Sumiya technique, but there's a good chance you've already met the artist in another life.
This is what Roth is up to now? He's can't. Oh, there's that scene, Trudy.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth performed with Van Halen for the last time.
Yeah, we know it. I want to hear more crazy things from David.
Boo, because it was in spring summer. And I said, when are we going to paint something else? And he looked out the window and said, when the weather changes. And he wasn't kidding. So for about 4 months, we painted a little house with snow on top.
So this is fascinating that you took 2 years of your life and went to Tokyo to study Japanese painting and drawing.
You have a look that is a bit, that's unusual.
That's unusual.
Unexpected. Okay.
Doesn't he look bizarre now?
Is it unexpected?
Pause for a second. Okay. What's going on with his hair?
I know.
What's going on with his face?
Is that a new... is that new hair?
It looks like a wig. It looks like the ghoul hair.
Wait, hold on. I gotta look at this.
See him there? It's very messy hair.
Is that his hair?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think that's his hair, isn't it?
But it looks really weird. He had it, like, shaved almost to his head.
He's been growing it out during COVID.
But how long has that been since it was... Remember he was in Vegas and it was super short?
That was pre-COVID.
So you're talking hair grow that fast?
Talking 9 months?
But it was shaved, almost shaved. I don't know. I guess.
You think he's wearing a wig?
I'm with you.
I didn't know what it was. I seriously didn't know. I was like, the first thing I said was, what's going on top of his head? But maybe it is his hair. It looks kind of like his hair.
Yeah.
If you can get past that, what would you use your rock stardom for?
I don't know.
I've always used my celebrity as a passport for travel. And let's go get into it.
And here's something else he got into.
He's an EMT.
In 2004,
oh, that's right.
Roth became a certified EMT.
That's kind of cool.
In New York City.
Yeah,
he was
right.
48 years old, but he says answering life and death emergency calls that's in the face, Bronx though. Was he the thing in life that made him feel, well, like a rock star.
I wasn't someone until I put on that 5'11 uniform and went on my first calls. I'm not going to kid you. I knew I was in for the humbling experience. A white boy rock star thinks what? This is an easy gig?
But you wanted to do it anyway.
Oh, that's extra. You bet.
He also learned that in a crisis, it helps to have a little sense of humor.
That is your only weapon.
Too bad he doesn't have one.
I was going to say, this is going to be a bad joke, isn't it?
You can give somebody who thinks they're going to die. Nobody calls 911 just to wish you happy Hanukkah.
Like I said, terrible joke.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, there he is performing in Vegas. He's got a full head of hair there in Vegas. Look at him.
I think that might be a hair piece.
Before COVID, he'd been touring as a successful solo act.
But now he's
going to take it a little slower. So you're going to space it out a little bit.
I'm on my, 45th year? Something?
Yeah, I didn't know that's BS because he was going to tour with Kiss before they canceled all concerts. So.
Well, now he's a Japanese artist or something, which seems right.
Yes, were there any other disclosures of interest or...
No, that was pretty much the end of it,
It's
there.
Just some, okay. You know how he sort of comes up with stuff that is apropos of nothing.
And yeah.
Then big smile, man.
Okay, a couple of really strange things have come up today. One, not too long before I was getting ready to start the show, I'm reading a story about how the New Yorker has suspended Jeffrey Toobin,
yeah.
who is, You know, this is a guy who is a great investigative reporter. He's done a lot of different things.
He wrote the OJ book.
Yeah, he did. He did. And he's written a number of books, and he's generally a pretty respected reporter. But he's more of a long form guy. Mm-hmm. He's not like a guy that's going to have a story every three nights or something. He's definitely more in for the long run kind of story. Anyway, and New Yorker would, I guess, give you an indication of that, as well as his books. But he's suspended from New Yorker, and it has to do with him being on a Zoom call with New Yorker staffers, his staffers, and WYNY?
WNNYC, which I believe is the public radio station there.
And he apparently exposed his penis
on
this Zoom call. And he's all, this is all they're saying. And he's all apologetic. Oh, I'm sorry for my family, my staff. You know, I didn't think I was on camera. And I'm thinking, well, that's weird. What was he changing his clothes? And what was going on? They were very nonspecific about it. And so it sounded like this really just strange thing that just happened.
Me because off. Zach.
He's in his bedroom. I don't know what's going on.
It sounds
and
like
also,
he was beaten off, yeah.
I also noticed. What? No, hold on. Let me finish. They mentioned that his big gig these days is CNN analyst. And I'm thinking, okay, New Yorker suspended him. CNN, he's apparently not even suspended yet. So it must have been something really stupid. And then I see this evening that now they're saying that he was masturbating.
Oh, okay. So the other people are saying that now?
Yes. That's okay. I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. And it really sounded like, it was just a dumb thing because he's not very specific about it. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I'd muted the Zoom video. I apologize again. Vice initially reported that the incident involved the exposure of Dubin's penis, but it has since updated its story to state that he was allegedly masturbating. So, I wonder, how does it happen that they get the story that he just exposed his penis, and then later they come back and say, well, yeah, he was masturbating. So what, were the people on these various staffs just covering for him? Or what's that story seems like there's only one way you report that story.
What? Oh, that he was beaten off on
Zoom? Yeah, because it doesn't make sense. How do you expose your dick on a Zoom call?
Well, I've done it a few times on our, you know, since we started. So, I mean, I understand how it could happen, but honestly, it shouldn't happen when you're in a job like that.
No, you do it on purpose.
No, it would never happen unless it was something really innocent, which is kind of what it sounded like when I first read the story. So now I'm just trying to figure out, first of all, how is he not fired from New Yorker? Why is he suspended for masturbating on a Zoom call? That would seem like a fireable, isn't that pretty simple fireable offense?
Here's the updated thing from Motherboard on Vice. Two people were on the call told Vice separately that the call was an election simulation featuring many of the New Yorker's biggest stars. So a lot of people from the New Yorker were on there. And they're all playing, you know, they're playing roles like Donald Trump and Biden, practice how they're going to cover it. Tubin was playing the courts. So there are a bunch of producers on there, too. Both people who spoke on the condition of anonymity in order to speak freely noted it was unclear how much each person saw, but both said that they saw Tubin jerking off. Two sources described a juncture in the election simulation where there was a strategy session, and the Democrats and Republicans went into their respective breakout rooms for about 10 minutes. So you can separate people if you're on a Zoom call into breakout rooms.
Right.
Sources said that when the groups returned from their breakout rooms, Tubin lowered the camera.
Whoa.
And that's when they could see him touching himself.
You should see me have sex with myself.
Tubin.
Okay, that doesn't sound like an accident.
Tubin then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues were able to see. And the simulation continued, the election simulation. So it almost sounds like, to me, they go into these breakout rooms that he's not a part of because he's the courts and they're the Republicans. And he's just like, well, while I'm waiting, I might as well just beat off.
Just rub one out.
And so then they came back in and went, oh, shit.
Why'd he lower the camera?
Maybe so he could see himself beating off in his Zoom, thinking everybody was in their breakout rooms?
Because
he thinks he's so hot.
Well, he has asked for some time off while he deals with
a permanent time off, my man.
Personal issue. What is the personal issue?
Beating off on a Zoom. It's very personal, except for the people that saw it.
I'd say I'm just kind of taken aback that he's not just fired immediately. How is that?
I'm
kind
of surprised
how would
too.
Anyone not be fired immediately for that? And also, well, I really get the feeling that somebody was trying to downplay this for some reason. I don't know, because he's Jeffrey Toobin.
It's a Jeffrey Toobin. He's probably. He's a legal expert and a lawyer, right?
Yeah,
yeah, he's a lot of things. Yeah,
so it's an, it's, aren't they going to try to figure out like the best way to go about getting him, brooming him before? Actually,
oh, I'm surprised
him.
He wasn't groomed.
You've got video of him masturbating on a Zoom call. I don't think it's terribly difficult.
That's the other thing, Drew. You know, it's if it's an election simulation, how they're going to cover it, then you know it was recorded.
Yeah, they recorded it.
Absolutely, it's recorded.
So where is it?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Suspended from New Yorker? Obviously knows what he did.
He's
suspended him.
Finding the right way.
I mean, this is
him.
Really weird. And then, you know, earlier today it said CNN is not taking any action, and I'm like,
Oh, they will. Come on, man.
This one is so easy. I mean, the way people get just blown out. I mean, just think of some of the people who have done something recently, and it's just like, whammo, bye. And this is. Sort of in the doubtful or the not so sure area briefly. I don't get it. Just, you know, I was saying the same thing yesterday about the guy on C-SPAN who lied and said he was hacked and then admitted, he lied. I mean, he's supposed to host a debate.
Yeah.
How could he? I mean, I don't know. That seemed uncertain. Those things seemed unsurvivable to me.
Well, but maybe be glad they're not. I don't know.
Maybe he thought it was an erection stimulation and not an election simulation. Sorry, that was bad.
That was really bad.
I mean, it's just not even close. Masturbating on camera to your... what the fuck?
I'm surprised he isn't blown out yet.
Who, by the way, needs to do that on a break in during work? I mean, how horny are you?
No, it's totally weird. It's totally bizarre. And
sure, you don't get it.
It would be kind of... I mean, I realize he's a good writer and all that, but it just seems like one of those career enders, almost like somebody who's just playing with fire. Why would you ever? He lowered the camera.
Here's part of the clip. Let's see.
Cool mushroom tip.
Oh, God, you don't get it. I can tell.
But yeah, I see what you're talking about, Drew, because when I search for the story, the first things that automatically pop up is... that he's been suspended for accidentally exposing himself.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Well, it's bullshit now.
And I feel like when you lower the camera, that's not an accident.
Well, I mean...
because you wouldn't lower the camera.
I don't know. Look, don't you think he's going to end up being fired?
I suspect
maybe they're doing
will.
Their due process, and they're going to talk to these two people.
I don't think it would take that long. Plus, I guarantee you there's females within that group, too.
Well, yeah, we heard from that one.
Cool mushroom tip.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, we'll see.
Way to go, tubes.
Yeah. That is really
way to go out.
Really, really weird.
What happens if you have like his books and stuff like that? Is it time for
he's not beaten off in the book.
Throw him out or you know?
I don't think I think you can make up your own mind on that.
Why is that changing?
I don't think we'll hold you personally accountable if you want to continue to read his book. I mean, his books are very popular.
Yeah.
What can you say?
I don't really have any. But I was just wondering if you're.
Which one is the OJ book?
The Run for His Life. That's what the People versus OJ Simpson was. I think that was based on his book.
Oh,
remember
wow.
The big FX movie?
Yeah.
No, you're right. The People versus OJ Simpson. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other story that came along as we were getting started today.
I'd like to add, too, if there's one penis I don't want to see being masturbated, it's his just by looking at him.
Yeah, it is just such a, the whole thing is just such a bummer.
Also trending, ironically, is Anthony Weiner because.
What? Why?
Because of this.
Oh, Carlos Danger?
Because Tubes is the new Anthony Weiner now.
Oof.
So they had to get.
So is Zoom Dick. That's trending. That's nice.
Okay, let's see. Where's my story?
I wonder if the carpet matches her pubes.
His.
Wait, did this thing. You know when a story shows up on, for example, Daily Mail, and then you go back and it's like, hey, wait, it was toward the top of the page. I can't find it now. Does that mean the story is not popular? It does, doesn't it?
Probably. What are you looking for?
I was reading the Iowa football story today because 8 former Iowa football players are asking for Kirk Ferentz to be blown out. Mm-hmm. And they're also asking for $20 million for being, I guess, I forgot what the term was. I mean, it has to do with race, being racially discriminated against in some way. I mean, it was a little more specific. I wish I could find the story now.
Well, I'm looking.
I mean,
at
I can
it.
Easily find it.
I'm looking at it. Is there a particular one?
Well, it's the story. It's the Iowa football story. Here, I'll just
Google Iowa football. Former Iowa players seeking $20 million in compensation and for athletic director, head coach, and assistant coach Brian Ferentz, Kurt's son, to be fired over what they said was intentional racial discrimination. During the Hawkeye career, the group, which includes 2 of the football's most prolific producers, in Akram Wadley and Kevontae Martin Manley. I know who Wadley is. I don't know who the other guy is. Made the demands in a certified 21-page letter sent to the University of Iowa. Did they actually file the lawsuit?
No, they haven't. They have not. I don't think they filed the lawsuit. I think that's coming. They're demanding these things. And I guess there's a date that they have to deliver this by, yeah. Or they said, we're going to court. In other words, they were trying to make a deal.
Yeah, they want the creation of a permanent black male senior administrative position in Iowa athletics, which we know they have the money for that because they don't pay the players. I mean, it's just another position in the athletic department. Mandatory anti-racist training for athletic staff. The establishment of a board of advisors, including black players, and anti-racist professionals.
Yeah, why don't they fire the racists? Wouldn't that be better than trying to train everyone to not be a racist?
Well, it sounds like it's the end of Kirk Ferentz, and they want tuition waiver for anyone.
Well, I don't know, because it sounded like Iowa was not necessarily in tune with these 8 players.
And they want tuition waivers for any black athlete who did not graduate with a degree during Kirk Ferentz's 22-year tenure.
Well,
that fits in.
They
need to meet it by October 19th, today.
Do they not? Yeah, that's why the story kind of came out, because Iowa did not do what they were asking them to do. Now, my question is, do they give tuition waivers for white athletes who attended and didn't graduate within the time of their playing tenure?
Well, no, because
tenure?
This is about racial discrimination.
So they did help the white guys, or they gave them tuition waivers?
I guess that's what these people are saying, yeah.
Wow. That would be pretty dramatically racist.
Now, there is some precedence in Iowa, because remember, didn't they fire?
I don't understand. How could you give tuition waivers? We do give tuition waivers to white players, but not the black players. I mean,
I don't think they give tuition waivers to any of them, is the point.
So how could they just give tuition waivers for only black athletes?
I don't know. Yes, for the moon, right? You overasked.
I guess. Oh, I mean, I would think they should, if they're going to give them, they would give them to everyone. And I thought a lot of schools did give them to everyone, or they gave them a certain amount of time, usually not 4 years, but maybe 5 years to graduate, or 6 years.
Remember, they did fire the strength and conditioning coach a while back, who over race allegations. So,
well, they said that he told some kid he was going to send him back to the neighborhood or something, or send him back to the slums, or I don't know what he said. Trying to get the guy to work harder, and they said, you can't exactly say that. And then I think he was also accused of using racial slurs. And I believe he denied it, but I just think Iowa wanted to be done with it. And so, because it was right after George Floyd, he was sent, I don't want to say sent packing, because he was given a $1.1 million severance, I believe, and also 15 months of vacation money.
Cool.
For vacation time unused. I mean, how can you unuse 15 months of vacation? How much vacation time does this guy have? And then they also said, after they moved this guy on, they said they were going to do a number of things to encourage inclusivity in certain areas of the athletic department or the football program. I wasn't really clear on what exactly they were saying, but it sounded like we're going to do a better job, one of those things. And so then this comes along, and they kind of implied that they admitted they're doing shitty things, so we should get the money, and they should blow out Kirk Ferentz. And why does the athletic director, did they say why he was?
I think one of them said demands? They went to him with complaints and nothing happened.
Oh, okay. And then Kirk Ferentz and his son. So his son apparently has the same racist gene as Kirk Ferentz, so clearly. He must also go. Oh, boy. Part of the university's response says the university has already implemented many of the demands in the group's letter. Look up the opportunity to visit with your clients to determine their interest in participating in activities that assist in creating meaningful change within the Iowa football program. But the it's not like you're interested in paying the $20 million or firing the people they want to fire.
They also lost a big recruit because of this today.
Oh, boy. Well, I hope they're happy.
That's what really matters.
Kirk Ferentz has expanded the team's leadership group to add more diversity in race and class rank and has formed an advisory group made up of former players. The league department already has a program for former players that have exhausted their eligibility to return and complete their primary undergraduate degree. We appreciate some former athletes sharing insights on the experience while at the University of Iowa. Many of their concerns have been reviewed and addressed. Any student athlete that has left the university did not obtain their degree is welcome to return, and we are here to support them. Several demands
goes to college.
Several demands outlined in the letter. We're proud of the efforts made to date. We have a path forward, includes many ideas. Blah, 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 blah.
Tremendous school.
I wonder what the $20 million, what the damages. That's a lot of damages for eight guys. That's $1.25 million a person.
They had it spelled out. Let me go find the story again. I think half of it
itemized it.
Well, I think half of it went to the eight guys for future losses, you know, because they were all going to the NFL.
Why would they not go to the NFL? What did Iowa do to them?
They're racist.
So they don't play players who are black?
No, they hurt their future. I'm just telling you what they're saying. I'm not agreeing with it.
I mean, honestly, if there's a college football coach who doesn't play black players because he's a racist, I don't think he's going to be a college football coach very long.
Well, a lot of these
guys.
That doesn't
mean it couldn't happen, but generally sports is a very progressive place for people of color.
Probably the most progressive place.
Probably is.
But some of them did leave because of it. So of the $20 million requested, 10 is to compensate the eight plaintiffs for, quote, the loss of earning capacity, the loss of professional opportunities, defamation, pain and suffering, mental conditions, mental anguish, PTSD, humiliation, and overall emotional distress. The other $10 million is to be allocated to other former players who were affected by the alleged discrimination.
Oh, the $20 million would include other former players besides the eight?
Half of it. So if like 20 other guys go,
too. So the eight of them
get half of
eat up half of it. Well, that's kind of selfish, isn't it?
Started it. You know, it's not going to be half of it anyway because the lawyers will probably get 80% of it.
Yeah.
Discrimination. Brian Ferentz is the son. They said he used racial slurs, made derogatory comments toward them. Kirk Ferentz, the players say, he didn't say the slurs, but he allowed this conduct to occur. Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz have never had to answer for their extensive roles in creative developing and taking part in pervasive culture. Boy, it sounds like, here's the game plan for the pervasive culture of discrimination. Their extensive roles in the creating, developing, and taking part.
Hello, Iowa!
In the pervasive culture of discrimination, humiliated, beat down the numerous African-American athletes under their control. That's not a very good way to win football games.
No.
I got my ass eaten out by a father and a mother in Des Moines, Iowa.
Thanks, Denny.
Profoundly impacting not just their experience as team members, but their overall physical and psychological well-being and their educations as well. So they prevented them from getting their education?
Yeah, clearly.
We need more Iowa drops.
Why? We have that great one from Denny and that lovely one from Hillary.
Hello, Iowa!
It's a narrow category. Ugh.
What is Kirk Ferentz's record at Iowa? I'm only asking because I'm just curious.
I think
curious.
Every 5 years he has like a 10-win season.
Which is probably about
he's
what
he's the dean
Iowa,
of Big Ten coaches, isn't he? He's been there for 22 years.
I think he is.
Has he been there
22 years, yeah. What? There was talk at one time that Michigan was going to hire him because remember Mary Sue Coleman?
Because they like racists at Michigan?
Yeah.
Well, he's won racist. Three straight
leaders
bowl games.
Not a Michigan man.
10 wins, then 9 wins, 8 wins, 8 wins, 12 wins, 7 wins, 8 wins. He hasn't had a losing season since 2012.
And he plays such an exciting brand of football, too.
9-8 in bowl games.
They've always played that way.
He's
162 and 104. I mean, for Iowa, isn't that pretty good?
I think it's
he
good.
He trains great tight ends.
I'll tell you this much. He's no Hayden Fry.
What the fuck is that?
I don't
know. What? You don't know who Hayden Fry is? Look at his coaching staff from the 1986 Iowa Hawkeyes.
The dude with the mustache.
It's legendary. Yeah, plus he painted the visiting locker room pink to soften up the team.
Oh, yeah. Well, he ought to be sued for that, too. That's discriminatory. 10-3
ways.
10-3 last year. 9-4. Yeah.
Yeah. See.
12-2 in 2015. 11-2 in 2009.
See.
11-2 in 2002. 10-3. Wait, a nice string there from 2002 to 2004. It's weird how you see somebody over a long term like that, and they have these down 4 or 5 years, and then boom, they're back.
That's what I was saying. Same with Paterno. Remember, people wanted to blow out Paterno.
He late in his career, he had a couple bad stretches, but he had a really long stretch.
But then he popped right after. I want to say it's the year he played Iowa. Didn't they play Iowa first?
We love you, Joe.
No.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well. Breaking news with Mort Krim.
I reluctantly tell you this because it is Tiger King news, but Carol Baskin has come out of the closet to say she's bisexual.
Oh!
What?
Ick!
That means she brings another woman into the bedroom with her husband, and they get it on. Threesomes all the time.
She always liked pussy.
I want her to be asexual.
I don't think we need to know that.
No, we don't.
Well, she broke the news to Pink News. She told Pink News she discovered her truth back during the AIDS crisis in the 80s.
I still don't feel we need to know that.
What?
I'm just tired of her. I'm tired of all the Tiger King people.
Why can't she disappear?
Yeah, right. Fall into the tiger pit. She'd be delicious.
There was a little bit of entertainment news today, including... SiriusXM has officially bought Stitcher, and Stitcher, I mean, it seems to have a lot to do with the podcasts.
Yes.
I don't know, like, whose podcast is a Stitcher podcast? They have a lot of exclusive shows.
I know Freakonomics, which is a pretty big downloaded one, has a Stitcher.
I mean, I assume they had
Sword and Scale.
Oh, that's big. That's a big show. Really big show.
It is.
No, it's huge. It's massive. It's one of the biggest in the world. Absolutely.
He's a complete dick, too.
The host is?
Oh, God. He's known for getting into, like, beefs with the families of people that he covers, you know, like victims or maybe the murderer. And he just gets all these internet beefs, and it's kind of ridiculous. So he starts his show, and he's always talking about, like, the people that he fought with online and stuff like that. And then people, you know, dig into his background and find out he's got DUIs, and so they put him on blast. But don't get me wrong. His show is absolutely fantastic. He uses a lot of audio. He incorporates, you know, whether it's an interrogation or a 911 call. Some of the greatest true crime podcasts that I have listened to have been episodes of Sword and Scale. Well,
I just know it makes a lot of money and gets a lot of downloads.
Oh, Comedy Bang Bang is also a Stitcher one. That's a pretty big one.
Hmm. Yeah, that's three pretty big ones right there.
How Did This Get Made is one, too. Office Ladies.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Pam and...
I thought Office Ladies was a Spotify.
Well, it's Earwolf, which is part of Stitcher, I guess. I'm according
to this. You know what? There's a couple other Earwolf shows I know of that do pretty well.
Yeah.
Because I see them in the listings. Anyway, $325 million for primarily the podcast. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
That's great. Good for them.
And because, I mean, show me a list of 30 stations that somebody would pay $325 million for.
Well, I wonder how much they want.
You could find 30 stations. There's probably, if you took the top 30 stations.
Yeah. I always wonder, too, how much of it is the technology, because the app that Stitcher has is pretty solid. But so is the SiriusXM app, so I don't know if
I would think the downloads and the exposure of the platform.
I know, but part of the reason, part of the reason Disney bought Hulu was because they were having trouble figuring out how to launch their own app. So they wanted that app. Yeah, the technology.
Anyway, yeah, that's quite a 25 million. I was surprised by that number, but hey.
I got Charlotte to listen to some podcasts.
What is she listening to? The kids' podcasts?
Well,
are the kiddie podcasts?
She, like her dad,
Charlotte,
has to be listening to something when they fall asleep. It just blows Julie's mind that because I said, I don't want to be all listening to what's going on in my head. I'll never fall asleep. I'll probably end up dying or something. So I have to distract myself, and Charlotte has to do the same thing. So she was listening to, like, audiobooks, but kept listening to the same ones over and over and over. So I'm like, well, let's see if there's some podcasts. So there's one that NPR puts out.
Oh, come on. No 6-year old wants to listen to NPR.
She
does.
She needs to go to sleep, maybe.
Well, that's the point. See, Trudy, you get it. That's the point, yes. Trudy. Yeah. And it's one for kids, but one of the episodes is Are You Smarter Than a Toilet? And she keeps listening to that episode over and over and over and over and thinks it's hilarious because it's about smart. So on her little desk, she has one thing that says smarter than toilet.
All right.
You're just like, why do you have a sign that says smarter than toilet on your desk? She just couldn't stop laughing about it. She thinks toilets are funny because they are.
They are funny.
So are farts, boners and farts.
There was a podcast survey, too, and it had to do a lot with, well, some of it was to do with COVID and some of it wasn't. For example, 68% list of podcasts to be more informed, which was surprising to a lot of people because podcasts are not breaking. I mean, they're not live. Mm-hmm. People are typically listening to them after it's been recorded, which means it's not breaking news. But at the same time,
right? But it's more in depth.
Yes, and people are finding that podcasts. In fact, 65% said they get perspectives that they find hard to find in other media. Now, I found that really interesting.
That sounds like an echo chamber, right?
Well, not necessarily. Because
you really think people are going to listen to the opposite of their beliefs in a podcast?
No, I don't think. I mean, I would say that the current media is an echo chamber, more of an echo chamber, is just as much of an echo chamber. And if you're not part of that echo chamber, and you don't like Fox News, you might find that there's a podcast that gives you what you want. I don't know.
I listen to Reasonable Doubt with Adam Carolla and Mark Garagos, and I don't necessarily think Garagos. I mean, he's getting Scott Peterson off death row and all that.
Yeah.
Aside from that, though, he explains the law because from the point of view of a lawyer, and that helps you understand it better. So whatever you feel about it, you're getting more information.
I'm sometimes surprised by how interested I can be in the law. Usually I find it's just, it's too much BS, but it can be interesting in certain cases.
He had one podcast on what you do if you get pulled over, and from the point of view of a lawyer,
well, it's kind of fun to hear that, what you can do and what you can't do and what's smart to do and what's not smart to do.
Sure. Yeah.
But you know, you mentioned Adam Carolla, and Adam Carolla is typically one of the top 10 podcasts going at any one time,
right,
in our category. And he's got multiple podcasts, but Adam Carolla is not a perspective you see in conventional media. He's very
conservative.
It's funny. I don't really think of him as conservative, but he's not politically correct at all.
No.
And he makes fun of a lot of things that, are part of political correctness. I've never found Adam offensive. I've never gone like, oh my God, he's so far right.
Offended. You're not easily offended.
No, I'm not easily offended. He has millions of people that download him who obviously aren't offended.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head, though. There's no overlord company to say to cancel him or suspend them.
I don't think Adam Carolla does anything that should be canceled for. What does he say that's so?
I'm just saying he's free to say whatever he wants.
He's part of Podcast One though now. He's not his own thing.
He has been for a long time, but he's also the most popular show on Podcast One, probably by quite a bit.
So there would be no telling him.
Think they would be cutting their head off if they did. But I would definitely say that Adam Carolla is not a perspective you would typically find in media. He's off the beaten path. And I think a lot of people do not like media right now. They just find it objectionable. They either don't believe it, or they think it's skewed, or for whatever reason. But I think he would definitely fall into that category of perspectives that are hard to find in other media. I mean, on a limited basis, you could find it. But the other thing, and I thought this was very interesting, that podcasts are displacing music listening for a lot of people.
Really?
Yes.
Because I don't support that.
They were asking people, what are you doing listening to a podcast? What would you be doing if you weren't listening to a podcast? And a number of people said that it would be listening to music. But that of those people, they asked them why. 52% said, there isn't new music that interests me. And in reading deeper, It also suggested that a lot of these people are inclined to be interested in new music, but they're not finding new music they're interested in at the moment. So anyway, there's a lot of reasons that, podcasts seem to be getting more listening, and they say COVID has also brought more digital time. People are spending more time in digital as a percentage than they used to.
I'm surprised by that because I just figured a lot of people would listen in their car.
Well, I think they do, but overall,
who's commuting?
When you talk about the total time listened to radio, let's say, for example, the total time listened to digital, well, it's probably higher, not in COVID, because there's more people in the car. But as a percentage, digital's percentage is going up. The less time, the longer COVID goes on and people aren't spending time in their car, the higher the percentage goes for digital.
I get that because habitually I listen while I'm doing something that's, you know, like kind of routine. So it's not just in my car.
Like the dishes or the lawn. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how a lot of people used to listen to radio.
Or shopping. Did you ever,
have you got your headset?
All the time.
Why not?
Really? Oh, wow. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah. Everybody in Costco has headsets on.
Billboard also has a story on Howard Stern and the five-year offer that they believe is in the neighborhood of $600 million, $120 million a year. And, of course, people just go apeshit over it. How could they pay him? How could he possibly? I don't know why that makes people so angry, but it does. So, anyway, they were saying that, hey, you know, those of you just think this is insane and they're just throwing money out the window.
You can make that much money in 5 seconds.
They said that Howard has to retain 1,070,000 subscribers in order to pay his salary. 1.07 subscribers. Now, they pay a lot of money. If you think of 1 million listeners for a radio audience, that's a lot of people, but there are a number of people who have a million listeners. But they don't pay $200 a year.
No.
They're also selling, and this, I don't know, I haven't quite figured this out yet. When did Sirius, because I listened to Howard and I joined late in the game, you know, like 2013 or 2014 or something like that. And when I got Sirius and I kept it in the car, the new car, because my prescription was running out, so I called and said, you know what, I'll pay for this. I think it was $250 then, or it might have been more than that.
Oh, wow.
At the time. I pay less now. Now I think it was like $210 the last time I did it. But anyway, so I'm listening to Howard, and I'm suddenly realizing, hey, wait a second. I'm paying for Sirius, and yet he's playing commercials.
Yeah.
So when did commercials come in? Because that was the whole point was, you pay for it. You don't have any commercials. But there's fucking commercials.
Wasn't the same said for cable television?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But it's just funny how that sort of, you know, goes by the wayside.
Is that really how cable started? They were going to say no commercials?
I think it was going to be more like HBO than the way it is.
Frankly, I'm shocked that HBO doesn't have commercials yet.
And then, it's kind of shocking.
Like before and after shows.
Cable did not have to like follow the rules of regular networks so that they could get away with more, too. But the internet was supposed to be like free information, too. Remember?
Yes.
How that blew up on us? Paywall.
Yeah. By the way, have you noticed how much music you click now? And I'm not on YouTube as much as I used to be.
Yeah.
But when I do go to YouTube, I notice that quite a few songs, there's two commercials, not one commercial.
You pay to bypass that.
What's that?
You do.
You pay to bypass that.
He must not be logged in.
Yeah, I don't think you're logged in.
I'm not on YouTube very often, but I had no idea.
Yeah, we got to log you in because you're paying.
Because if you have the premium YouTube, what do they call it, Red or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, you have Google Play, right?
Yes.
There's no more Google Play.
Yeah. Right. Well, I have whatever Google Play became. YouTube Music, I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, Stern has to get 1.07 million subscribers for them to break even. That's only 3.1% of their 34 million. Sirius has 34 million subscribers. That seems like a lot. Anyway,
but they only had like 200,000 when he started there.
Yeah. No, he clearly, I mean, they'll always owe him. They'll never be able to pay him back for this. Analysts estimate that 2.7 million subscribers would not renew if Howard was not on. Those 2.7 million have a lifetime value to Sirius of $1.4 billion, which is, of course, a lot more than $600 million. I mean, if you're talking about the lifetime of Howard, five more years of Howard, but it may be more than 5 years of Howard. So, You know, I didn't really know what the math was on that. I just knew that there's no way Sirius isn't making. I know they're paying him a ridiculous amount of money, but they have to be making money because they charged you paying $200 or $300 to be on there for a year. So, and if you're doing it for him,
yeah.
if he's the main reason, then he's worth it. And I don't think they have any qualms about paying him that.
Well, are you surprised that he wants to do five more years, being that he's 66, yeah. being that the last 5 years that I've been listening to him, he's always saying, God, I hate this. I can't wait to retire. I'm not going to renew. He always complains. Says he's not going to renew. Yeah.
I think that's a bargaining tool.
Sure.
Leverage. I think it does a lot to in a way of bargaining. And also, I noticed that, and it's taken a while to notice this, a while of listening to him, when he talks to someone... It doesn't really matter who he talks to. If they have great success and they make a lot of money, he always wants to know how much money. Or, well, how much money did you get for that? Or how much, you know, yeah. and he brings up money a lot. I think he definitely is competitive about money. I think he's keeping score.
Yeah.
And
God, I had a show host in Traverse City who used to do that. Ask all of our guests how much how much money they made.
Hey, look how far advanced he was.
Oh, boy. It was so cringy. It was awkward. Like, stop it.
Yeah, Howard seems to get away with it. I'm not sure how he gets away with what he... But he generally... People... I've heard a lot of people spill it to him, or at least in some sort of range. But anyway.
Another... I'm sorry. Was that it for him? Because there's other radio news I was going to bring
up? No, I didn't have any other radio news.
So Rush Limbaugh ended his show today giving an update about his cancer.
Oh, yeah. What's the
stage
deal?
Four. It almost sounds like the end is near
because
he said he didn't even he'd make it till October 1st. And every day he wakes up, he's relieved. He's not fooling himself anymore that it's almost over. And I didn't hear it. I'm just
still
reading.
Doing a show, though.
Yeah. And he admits that he's very fatigued and he's tired now.
Oh.
I don't know. It sounded really, you know, pretty heavy. And then as I'm scrolling through Twitter, Michael Savage, you know, Michael Savage is right.
He's also a conservative talk show host.
Yeah, even more, I think a little more on the conspiratorial side, I think Savage is, but he tweets this out. Limbaugh's crying about his cancer on the air. Worst 15 minutes in radio history.
Nice guy.
Spilled a large coffee all over the counter and floor. I promise my audience this. I will not drag you down with me. Best wishes, Rush, but please stop and leave the stage with dignity.
Oh, God.
Isn't that a weird thing? And then
messy bitch.
Then he follows up with, compare this to Luke Gehrig's speech at Yankee Stadium. What are you talking about?
Well, Luke Gehrig's is pretty brief.
Yeah.
Pretty memorable. We can all probably repeat what he said.
Yeah, I guarantee you, it's not the worst 15 minutes in radio history. Somebody talking about their terminal cancer. It's probably incredibly moving.
Well, especially to all the people who listen to Rush. Okay. He's got such a large audience. They want to know how he's doing.
Yeah, I doubt people were turning the dial as much as
sounds like Michael
Savage
jealous.
Thinks they were. Yeah. Maybe he is.
Wow, did he get ratioed on Twitter or what for that? 12.7 thousand comments and only 1,600 likes.
What is he fucking talking about?
What the fuck is he thinking about? Well, I mean, seriously. Sometimes I'm so amazed what social media can bring people to do because they just spew it out there. They just let their mouth start barfing into their keyboard. And the next thing I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe people were so mad. All I said was that his cancer talk was boring.
They said it was the worst 15 minutes in radio history.
Then within a day, they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I said I'm so sorry.
I don't know if he'll feel that way.
Dodgers are in the World Series against the Rays.
Wow, and, what a team.
Does anybody care about that other than L.A.? I mean, are people into?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody know what the playoff ratings were like? Did a lot of people watch the playoffs? I mean,
everything's been down, so yeah.
I mean, is there a number? Can you check the numbers for the Dodgers, Rays, if they've got game 6, game 7, game
Dodgers,
anything?
Braves.
I see game 2 of the Astros. Wait a minute. Game 2 of the Astros Rays was about 1.88 million on TBS, which was the least watched LCS game on record.
Wow. Well, how about that? We have the least watched NBA finals on record, the least watched ALCS. Can you check? There's got to be, I mean, can't we get a more frequent or more recent game than that? Are they not printing baseball ratings anymore?
You get the NBC ratings. What?
Yeah, but they haven't been on NBC. Oh. By the way, it's been very helpful. Tell D, I appreciate it.
I will.
do. Because that was, well, no, it gives all the stations. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday Night Football did terrible yesterday, but that was a terrible game.
What's Sunday Night Football, what did it do last night? Well, what if the Dodgers Braves did well last night? They must say, if they're giving the football, do they give the baseball?
$9.4 million for the football game.
Ooh.
That's terrible.
I mean, that's still a big audience, but that's not good.
But I just bring it up because the Rams are playing Los Angeles, and they're going up against the Dodgers game.
So the Chiefs and Bills played earlier today. That's a Monday afternoon game. How weird is that?
Meanwhile, Supermarket Sweep did almost $5 million.
Did it really?
You know, that's honestly the most shocking thing about some of this, you know, sports. Well, it's COVID. And it's like, but wait a second. That, and I think it was the NBA Finals game two. The game did, I mean, it was actually very close between the game and the Masked Singer. The game barely beat the Masked Singer. Now, that says something about people being a little oversaturated with sports because. I just can't see that.
Game 7 did $6.4 million. The Dodgers won. Fox's final numbers will likely be adjusted with spillover from the OT, which did $13.6
million. Oh, wow. Well, is that good for Game 7? NLCS? I don't think so. You wouldn't think
so? $6.4 million?
No. It doesn't seem like it'd be that good.
That's, you know, but once again, it's going up against Football Night in America, and then the NFL.
But they always do. The NLCS, ALCS World Series always does. I mean, on Sunday nights.
Should try to avoid that.
Well, now, who's on the Masked Singer so far? Why is that so?
Trudy, it's the same people that are usually on. Nobody's special. It's just that people.
Really?
I really think people have just reached a saturation point with sports. I don't know how else to think about it. Well, they always watch dumb stuff, but usually that stuff will get obliterated by an important football game or basketball game or baseball game, but not so much now. And, you know, hearing about ESPN talking about getting out of the business, what does that do? Because that takes a major bidder who has to at least get part of the bid. And what football's done is they've collectively managed to whore themselves out and be on all these networks like NBC Sunday night, ABC Monday night, CBS on Sunday afternoon, ESPN, you know, all the times they're on. If you take a player out, it's basically one less bidder.
Yeah.
And I think they're showing too many games. I think, you know, football players desperately want out of that Thursday night thing. And they said, if they did not have Thursday Night Football, it would change the structural revenue of the sport. That they could not afford to pay players what they're paying.
It reminds me, there's a doubleheader on tonight. I totally forgot. One game started at 5. I don't even know what's going on.
I just said that. Yeah, I said we had Monday afternoon football.
Oh, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Well, I was looking up these ratings.
Yeah, I think that game's just about over. But just to quickly answer Trudy's question in the new season of The Masked Singer, so far, 4 massive stars have been unmasked so far.
Oh, who are they?
Busta Rhymes.
What?
Mickey Rourke.
Oh, God.
Mark Sanchez. What? And Brian Austin Green.
What? Hey, remember that chick he was nailing Austin Green, the Tina Louise?
Yes, I saw that.
She's banging Puffy now, Diddy?
So, in other words, Brian Austin Green is out.
Well, in other words, P. Diddy's getting Brian Austin Green. So
I know, that's an ugly one either way you look at it. I mean, it means Brian Austin Green is done. He's not going to rally back. But after Puffy.
What, he married to Megan Fox?
Yeah.
Wasn't Puffy getting Megan Fox by injection or?
By electricity?
By electricity.
Well, I don't know, because what's his name? Kelly.
Machine Gun. In other words, Machine P. Diddy's nailing Machine Gun Kelly then, Trudy. Right? Kind of.
Ooh, I bet he doesn't like that.
That girl, though, what's her name? Tina?
Tina Louise.
Tina Louise.
She's pretty. Anyway, the Dodgers-Braves game last night was a fantastic game. Swanson hit a homer to put the Braves up.
Mookie then took one away from Freddie Freeman. Whew.
That was a huge play. Will Smith tied it up with a two-run hit after Muncy's double, put runners on second and third. That was with two outs. Then Austin Riley singled in a run to make it 3-2. Then, this is one of the biggest plays of the game. Markakis ground to third base, and the shift was absolutely perfect. They get the play at the plate, and in the rundown, the guy in second gets thrown out going to third. I mean, that was such a blown scoring opportunity.
Yeah, it's because they ran on contact.
Yeah, but the guy in second didn't run on contact. The guy in third ran on contact. The guy in second was standing on second base, and then he's like, oh, my God, it's a run. I better get over there. And by the time he got over there, they tagged him out.
That's his inner voice.
Yes. Then Tyler Matzek struck out Muncy with the bases loaded in the fifth. I mean, there was just nonstop action in this game. Betts robbed Freddie Freeman, his second home run he's taken away in the series. And then Minter came in the sixth. Kiki Hernandez tied it up with a pinch hit bomb, 3-3. And then in that same inning, the Braves threw out, what's his name? Ozzie threw out Seager. Seager's ground ball to second base. He threw home to get Taylor at the plate to keep it 3-3. And then Bellinger just hits this bomb.
Eighth pitch has been the magic one tonight. This time he hits the ball to deep right field. Cody Bellinger has done it! And the Dodgers lead it.
It's quite a big crowd.
Yeah, they actually had fans out there. It was pretty amazing because Bellinger's been kind of off in the postseason, but he crushed this ball. I really enjoyed the NLCS and the ALCS, and I'm going to enjoy this World
the
Series.
The NLCS ended up being very good, and Bellinger just crushed that thing. It was 94 miles an hour, right in the middle of the plate and up. I mean, it was right down the middle. He killed that thing, and I have never seen a guy walk that far to first base. And, when you first saw it this morning in the house, it was like, wait, is this a walk-off home run? No, it was in the seventh inning. I mean, I would have thought that was maybe a little premature, but no, it didn't matter. Dodgers.
This is a black day for baseball.
Dodgers were able to hold on to the lead 4-3 and advance, and so that's that. And did anybody see this story? Oh my God!
I found the Limbaugh audio, by the way.
What story?
So, if you ever want to hear it.
Where's it available?
On Twitter.
Okay. Because I don't know if I want to hear 15 okay. minutes. I mean, well, maybe. It's
219 is what they have.
Maybe. This sounds so shallow. I would rather hear. And I don't know if you guys have heard this, but, Selena Gomez's friend that gave her the kidney.
Yeah.
Her name is Francia. And, of course, Selena Gomez so bravely showed us her kidney transplant scar.
Oh.
It was so brave of her.
Oh, my God. How awful was it?
It was repulsive, absolutely repulsive. She is so disfigured, I couldn't believe she showed it to us. I don't ever want to see her again. Anyway, her friend who donated the kidney videotaped, she recorded herself on the 405 when she said that the Trumpers, who were headed to the OC rally, because Trump had just flown into OC, so they were going to see the rally. She said that she happened to be on the 415 at the time, and the Trumpers boxed her in and were laughing at her for being a Mexican.
Whoa.
Which I thought was...
With cars?
With the cars, I guess.
It's quite a leap.
Wait,
I thought it was
traffic?
A bit of a leap.
You're in traffic and you're boxed in by...
She said they boxed her in on purpose, and she said they were making fun of her because she's Mexican she was terrified.
How did she know they were
making fun of her? That's out of traffic.
Hey, look at you. You're Mexican. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
It was very unclear to me, but she clearly, very clearly.
Why did you stay in Mexico?
Okay, you know what? It's on TMZ at 3:20 because I was fascinated by this. I was like, wow, I don't know what to make of this.
Hey, move your ass!
And the TMZ people kind of explained it. They made it seem plausible, which isn't surprising for TMZ because she's Selena Gomez's friend, so they want to believe her.
No.
How far? What time?
It was at 3:20. Right around 3:20.
Selena Gomez's kidney donator. This isn't...
I know.
Bert Kreischer was live?
Yes. Yeah.
How was that?
He's got a new terrible, show on Netflix.
Terribly stupid.
I've heard people ask me if I've seen it. To which I go...
I don't really
want to see it.
I just think I must be too old to like Bert Kreischer because I know a lot of people like him, but I'm not really... I don't
get it.
I don't get it either. Don't get it. But if people like it, that's fine. I guess people do like it. I know his podcast does very well.
Oh, look at this idiot crying. I'm going to make fun of her, not for being Mexican, just for crying.
Was on the 405 here in Los Angeles this weekend when...
That's kind of a hot picture if they weren't have all that medical stuff on them, where they're both lying in
bed.
Yeah,
they're holding hands. They've just she's just given her kidney to keep her alive. How beautiful.
Look at them lock eyes there. They're holding hands and they have the IV.
And she's, isn't Selena bisexual?
Yeah.
Yeah, so who knows?
And there's nothing under those gowns.
Yeah. That's true.
President Trump, right after he had touched down, was heading down to Orange County for a rally.
MAGA.
She says things got really ugly for her. She is clearly very shaken by what she says happened.
MAGA. I was just on the 405, and I got stuck in that stupid Trump rally, and they boxed me in, and they're pointing at me and laughing at me, saying, ha ha, and literally, I almost crashed.
Literally.
Because they wouldn't let me out. I was trying to go around it. And they're literally, he was like, they were all stopping and going. They boxed me in on the freeway. All I wanted to do was go around. And they were just being so violent. I could have crashed. I could have crashed. It was so dangerous. And I just don't understand why that's the country that y'all are supposedly wanting right now. Really? That's what makes America great? That's I could have died right now.
Like that could have been me.
Dangerous. Pointing at me and laughing. A Mexican.
I'm confused about what happened here. I don't get it either. I don't know if she has a bumper sticker on that says Biden or something.
I'm a Mexican.
It's not clear to me how they sing.
She needs the Larry David MAGA hat.
I don't want to hear these people again. I heard it once already.
You know what?
How did they explain it? You said they explained it.
No, they didn't really explain it.
Yeah,
they said they must have a bumper sticker that says Biden or something.
Right, because she's not overtly in any way some person they might pick out of a crowd.
And she could have some identification as being a Mexican person, some organization she belongs to that's on her car.
Like the color of her skin.
Okay.
I thought it was a little dramatic.
Quite. She's pretty shaken up, though. How's her kidney?
I don't know. Her Instagram's pretty hot, though.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, look at that. Watch her work out.
Well, and Cardi B is off social media.
No.
Yeah, because she's back with Offset.
Oh.
And her fans are they are criticizing her decision.
She's entertaining.
Guess what, guys? I got to take a fart.
You know, it's funny how often I like what Cardi B says.
Well, yeah.
I kind of like this girl. I really do. It's almost universal. I just can't think of many things that I don't like that she does, although once in a while, but she announces she's off social media. She quits Twitter, and she says that fans are ragging her for going back to Offset. And she sort of implies that, you know, if my fans don't have my back, what the fuck? And she says they're talking shit about her instead of having her back and saying it's constructive criticism. And she says, I don't need your fucking constructive criticism. Fuck you. You know, on my Twitter, really? And this part was funny and telling. She said, it's a whole bunch of 15-year-olds telling me how to live my life like I'm fucking Ariana Grande or something, like I come from Disney. And she does not come from Disney. She comes from an entirely different place.
From the titty bar, yeah.
And
I'm scared.
I think she's more or less saying, look, you know, I'm going to make mistakes and stuff. Fuck you. And honestly, 15-year-olds on your tour, I mean, that would drive anybody ape shit, I suppose. But the other side is that, you know, if you're putting it all out there, then
you're going to get some.
You're going to invite some of it back. And it doesn't mean she has to like it, but she's off Twitter, so whatever.
Surprise.
Spread the word. Don't spread the germs, bitch. Y'all hear that? Wait, hold on. There we go.
Well, this I know about Cardi B. Even if I don't like something she does or says, I just can't stay mad at her. Really a funny chick. She is. I just can't help kind of rooting for her.
When she was getting back together with Offset, she, I guess, did an Instagram Live, and she says that she's a crazy bitch because she can't make up her mind how she wants to beat him up one day. It's hard not to talk to your best friend. It's really hard not to talk. It's hard not to talk to your best friend. It's really hard not to talk to your best friend. And then she ends it by saying, it's really hard to have no dick.
Oh.
Which, imagine if a guy's like, oh, man, it's really hard not to have that pussy.
Did anybody see this today? And this is one of those things where I'm like,
Ashley Graham, hopefully.
What's that? Ashley? No. I saw the picture, but whatever. I guess Ashley Graham was
1 million likes.
Needs a little attention.
1 million likes.
Okay, this came to me from about three people today, and I immediately did not believe it, but I'm just asking. Did Joe Biden declare a lid on his campaign until Thursday?
A lid? What do you mean?
In other words, he's not campaigning. He's not going to be available till Thursday, or he's not campaigning
well,
till
Thursday. The New York Post put out that Biden has called a lid on his campaign events until after the debate with Trump, and some are speculating it has to do with the Hunter Biden situation, but
probably.
I wouldn't be surprised. Although this did not come from the Post. This was from something else, and I can't think of this guy's name. I don't know what his name is, but one guy sent me a link, and I'm watching it, and this is this guy who reports on election stuff, and he's, I don't know what, he seems sort of conservative, but he's very critical of everyone. He just seems to sort of rag the whole thing. But anyway, he said there was a lid. The Biden campaign has declared a lid till Thursday.
Yeah.
And he was saying, with 16 days left, this is kind of incredible.
Frankly, I'm surprised he didn't put a lid on it till the 3rd of November.
He probably could put a lid on it. I think he'll still... I don't know that people are going to change their votes, but today there was a pretty significant development, and this is from Newsweek, not a tabloid, but Newsweek magazine. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe says the Hunter Biden laptop is not part of a Russian disinformation campaign. He said no intel supports this claim. Now, you know, this was said yesterday on Maria Bartiromo's show. So, again, I didn't see this anywhere until it was sent to me.
It was.
Is this not
I,
an?
I saw it in a few places today.
You did? Okay. Yeah. Who was running it?
You know what? Let me find. But Twitter was obviously all over it, and it was in another article, one of the papers I was looking at.
I didn't see it in. I watched Good Morning America. I watched a little bit of the Today Show, and I did not see it. I also just checked NBC News when I went up during the Boner line.
But you said they weren't covering the story anyway, so why would they then add that to it?
Well, no, they're not really covering it because it's a pretty significant development. It says that this is he referred to it as Hunter Biden's laptop, which means now I don't know if he means that it is Hunter Biden's laptop, but he says it is not part of a Russian counter disinformation or counterintelligence, which is the big thing that everyone who's defending this says.
Did you see the other updates on the story?
Oh, well, I saw Hunter's meth mouth picture that they put out.
No, that Giuliani went to Fox News with it first, and they said, no, we're not running this. We can't verify this, which kind of surprised some people. And then the New York Times, which I guess maybe, you know, fake news.
Oh, I saw the New York Times story. I'm just getting to that.
But... Okay, go ahead. But I thought that was interesting.
Fox News, by the way, they are verifying certain things that they are interested in. As far as the whole laptop, I would think they would love to have that.
Well, there's a really interesting quote by Brett Baer in that article, too, when they were talking about it on TV, saying...
Do you think that was more of Giuliani or more of the actual content of the story? And what I mean by that is... Giuliani's been a little nutso lately, and I don't know if they just.
I think if it's a story, it's a story. But if you know, and say what you want about Fox News, they still have real reporters there. I mean, forget about the Tucker Carlsons, forget about the who's the guy on it late. But I mean, they are a news organization, so there are real reporters there. But if they felt like they couldn't properly vet this, so they didn't want to run the story, it's kind of interesting.
Well, they might not feel they have the people to do it. People are saying about the New York Post. I don't know if that's true. I honestly wouldn't know who could or could not. The FBI is going through the laptop and they won't say one way or another. But when the director of national intelligence says that Hunter Biden's laptop is not part of a Russian disinformation campaign, and he went on to say more, he said, I think he specifically mentioned Adam Schiff because Adam Schiff has been running his mouth all weekend saying that it's a disinformation. It's coming from the Kremlin, blah, blah. And he said, actually, he did specifically say Adam Schiff has not been given any information from U.S. Intel that would suggest that.
Isn't he the head of the House Intel Committee?
Adam Schiff?
Yeah.
I don't know. I only know what Ratcliffe said about him. And I know who Adam Schiff is, but
yeah.
And a senior intelligence official backed up John Ratcliffe's assessment, saying Ratcliffe is 100% correct. And I'll see just Let's see, the FBI is in possession of
He's
it.
He's not exactly the best-looking guy we've ever seen.
Has had it for some time. Their investigation is not centered around Russian disinformation. The intelligence community has not been involved in Hunter Biden's laptop. Again, calls it a laptop. Ratcliffe expresses dismay that people are leveraging the intelligence community for a political narrative that's not true. Whether it's Republicans or Democrats, I really don't like it. And then then the story about Hunter Biden or Joe Biden's campaign having a lid till Thursday, which is pretty interesting. And the only other thing as far as this laptop is that, in my opinion, I don't think Ukraine matters. I think there's more interesting things in the laptop. You know, people are so hung up on this prosecutor and this, you know,
well, that's because that's what links it to Joe.
No, I think the China part of the story is far. I see. Personally, I never knew anything about Moscow or China. I knew that these people said certain
China.
Things. But I think the China story is more interesting because of the equity breakdown that says 10% for the big guy, which, of course, people and Fox says this is authenticated. Maybe Fox didn't want to authenticate the computer or the laptop.
Well, Bannon's the one that authenticated that.
Well, Fox News says they have talked to people who were on the receiving end of that email, and they said that they authenticated it in addition to whatever the New York Post or I don't know what the other authentication was, but they said it's been authenticated, and they said they talked to people who received copies of the email, and I guess there were six people on the email for whatever reason, and they talked to a couple of those people who authenticated it as well. Biden's meth mouth picture. I don't know if did the New York Post put that out? Did you guys see it?
That's a bunch of malarkey.
I don't know which what's the
he's
picture.
Smiling with just like the most corroded, grody teeth.
Have a cigarette in his mouth, or is that
no? He doesn't have a cigarette in his mouth. It's a pre and post dental picture. He's showing off his new choppers, and there he's showing off his meth mouth.
Gross.
Whoa.
I know that is he looks Whoa. He does not look good there.
Oh, here, Trudy, I'll put it up there.
Oh, ew.
Now, you know, I think we've been led to believe that he was more of a crack smoker, but we saw the meth pipe in
Jesus
his mouth.
Christ.
So it appears that he liked meth, and judging from his mouth.
How is a meth pipe different from a crack pipe? I don't know.
A crack pipe is a straight pipe. I think it's loaded in like a one hitter.
Okay.
And a meth
pipe. I mean,
a meth pipe is a.
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
And a meth pipe, what? There's a bowl in it?
Yeah, there's a bowl. They're usually glass.
Okay.
I can tell you that from intervention, because you see people smoke it. Boy, they love watching the smoke, too.
It's chasing the dragon, right? Or no, that's heroin.
You know what's driving me crazy? And I read this about six times today, just because I was reading this John Ratliff story and the New York Times story. And that's this Biden story about the, you got 6 hours or forget the $1 million. And the guy said, you aren't the president. And I'm like, did the guy really say, can you fucking see some guy who wants to get $1 billion saying, you're not the president? Like he's going to call Obama and tell him on Joe Biden?
Probably not.
Doesn't that story just sound so blustery?
No, but I don't believe the corn pop story either.
Corn pop.
But, so forensic accountant has to find corn pop. Even if he's in a death record.
Corn pops behind this whole laptop situation.
Oh, that could be it.
I am convinced that the reason Biden keeps telling that story the way he does, like, you call him! You know, and the son of a bitch fired him! I'm convinced that telling that story gets him hard, because he loves telling that story. And gross. He gets so excited about, you know, the guys, you are the president! Son of a bitch! Also, Steve Bannon is promising emails from Hunter's attorney asking for the laptop back. His attorney said Giuliani and Hunter's attorney had said Giuliani's been pushing widely discredited themes about the Biden family, openly relying on actors tied to Russian intelligence. That was his quote 2 days ago.
Freaking so, Giuliani.
Very interesting. And the New York Times says that the New York Post writers did not want to use their names on the byline. So. They will not quote any specific person. They say, according to five people who know how the New York Times works.
New York Post or Times?
New York Post, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let me find the quote. I just thought the quote was a little... Let's see. They questioned...
Well, the main lady on the byline, she had she had never written a story for the Post.
And she's got pictures of... She has pictures of herself with Steve Bannon and Sarah Huckabee Sanders on her Instagram.
Oh, that sounds like a fine
and
party.
And Roger Stone.
Whoa.
She worked for Sean Hannity's.
Yeah, she worked for Sean Hannity. She was associate producer for Sean Hannity's show. And then the second writer is named Fonrouge, who the New York Times says had little to do with reporting the story. They said, now this is really kind of crazy. They are saying that the main writer of the story refused to put his byline on. So why did he write the story?
Because he's probably told to.
He wrote a story that he didn't believe was true, and then...
Or he just didn't want his name on it, yeah.
Is he quoted in the New York Times story? Bruce Golding?
In the Times story? No.
Wouldn't you think he would say something?
Well, not if he wants to keep his job.
It doesn't make the New York Post look very good. Forcing someone to produce a story that they believe is false, or they don't... Well, I don't think he said believe it was false. They said he wasn't sure of the sourcing.
Yeah. Well, maybe he didn't think the story was ready.
Maybe you don't want the repercussions of publishing it. I mean, people would read it and get upset because you're bashing their guy and go after you.
You know, Brandon, that's kind of what I thought. I wondered about the woman who they said is not right stories for New York Post, and the other one's like, if they didn't do it, I sure as fuck wouldn't want my name on it, because if, you know, the death threats come flying, they're going to get them. Emma Jo Morris and what's her name? Fonrouge.
Wouldn't you think Bruce Golding, if he had written, if he's a writer for the Post, would have written stories that might have done that anyway?
Gotten him in trouble?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, this was such a weird... this is not the angle I was expecting. Well, actually, it makes sense if you think about it, because the New York Times is not like the story. But after Ratcliffe came out and said it's not a Russian disintelligence, I mean, was Helly Jackson going to report that? Because she's the one that said this is a could be a part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
I'm looking at Bruce Golding's other stories. I think I don't think he's afraid of what one side's going to say against him, because he wrote too about Pelosi and the 25th Amendment.
Well, maybe you should go talk to
A bunch about the kidnapping plot of Whitmer.
I can't speak for Bruce Golding, but anyway, Newsweek the New York Post is reporting this, but Newsweek is reporting the John Ratcliffe story, and they have
Ratcliffe, though, was an appointee of the Trump administration for the director of national intelligence.
They also said a senior intelligence official backed up John Ratcliffe's assessment. Now, has anyone denied what John Ratcliffe said? I mean, I would have to believe there's people in the... I mean, is there anyone that can actually make anything be true or not true?
No, that's the world we live in now.
Is that what you wish for? I mean,
silly?
When so much doubt is sowed, no. No one will believe anything.
I mean, Emma Jo Morris worked for Sean Hannity, so she's... I mean, I swear to God, if I worked for Sean Hannity, there's no fucking way I want my name on a story that says that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are doing these things if I don't know they're doing it. Because,
well, even though Ratcliffe said that, the FBI is still looking at it as a foreign operative, totally contradicting Ratcliffe's intelligence.
Well, don't they have to? I mean, isn't it a matter of national security to look at that, to take an in-depth look, if it is what it is?
I don't know.
Influences on...
let me just say this.
Well, but Christopher Wray just the other day was out there saying that, hey, Russia is still trying to fuck up this election.
Oh, I mean, he's
saying that. So, yeah, I'm sure they're investigating everything that's going on.
The phony Russia hoax.
I find it very strange that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have said nothing about the pictures, the sex video, the crack pipe, the meth pipe, emails. They've said nothing specifically isn't his.
Just out of curiosity, let's role play. You're Joe Biden. Answer the question. What do you make of the Post article? How do you answer that? I don't know.
I knew you'd ask that question, and you would ask that question.
I got to say, whatever your answer is better than how he answered it when he was asked outside that airport.
He attacks anyone because I don't think he can answer it. If it's true, he can't answer it.
It's a smear campaign.
I assumed, okay, when when they said the Biden campaign has a lid till Thursday, that to me is very telling. It kind of says he's doing the four corners.
Well, do they,
I mean, to just waste 2 days of a campaign, that's pretty
do campaigns
a lot
usually,
of time.
Do they usually take off before debates? A few days before debates or no?
When's the debate?
Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they take off this much time.
I don't
time,
know.
But.
That's it's. I mean, I would assume is what is well, Trump's different.
So they can do their prep.
Yeah, you really do need to prep for.
Yeah, you can. How do you prep for Trump? Because you know that he's going to come flying out with Hunter stuff. It's like, going to come up.
It's like football. You have to look at his team videos.
Well, you know what would be fascinating if Joe Biden specifically answers it and says, you know, that that email about that guy's bullshit and Hunter doesn't even know that guy. And, you know, I mean, I sincerely doubt he's going to do that. He's just going to say the whole thing is fake.
I go, man, what are you talking about? I didn't get any money. I put out my tax returns. Did you put out yours?
That's a bunch of malarkey.
He'll find a way to
flip
it.
Yeah, I mean, he's essentially, what's really funny is to hear a lot of people say it's fake news. I mean, it's a great term. I guess
started that?
I know. Oh, get us out of here.
Ready?
Thanks, TJ Lang.
He's great. I wrote him and thanked him. Told me he'd like to have him on and talk about football sometime.
Yeah, I was intrigued. I'm intrigued by these Eastern Michigan guys that end up in the NFL and do pretty, like Charlie Batch and TJ. And who's the guy that played defensive back of the Lions?
Oh my God. Ronnie White, right? No.
Not White.
Ron Rice. And honestly, great fucking guy.
Yeah, where's Ron Rice?
I
thought he was going to be sort of a media football guy or something.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This Hunter Biden story was so annoying the other day because I got so much email and a lot of people were saying thank you, and the problem with that was that they're kind of like they're major Trump fans and they're like thanks for, you know, and I'm like I don't like that story. I think that story, whether it's true or not, I don't think it'll affect one Joe Biden vote.
What?
Thank you.
The Hunter Biden story.
Oh, I disagree.
I really don't think it will, but it may. But my interest in the story is more that the media is so actively ignoring it.
I don't think he. Well, I mean, look at the Fox News didn't even want to talk about it when they did. Brett Baer's like, hey, there's a lot of fishy things going on with this. So I mean, there's
Fox
some
News
doubt.
Spent even the last 3 days on the story. They've been all over the story.
I don't know if it will.
They're also saying they're verifying emails.
I don't know if it will. Well, yeah, but the point is there a connection? I don't think it's going to gain any votes for Trump, but I could see people just going, I ain't voting for a criminal enterprise. I'm not going to bother voting.
The only reason it interested me, because I just felt like the media didn't give a shit. It just seemed weird. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
Story, I'm going to tell you real quick.
Just about
my mom.
Okay. How's your mom in this poor fray?
I don't know. I had to tell you real quick before I forget. Get this, you went over to Somerset the other day.
Uh-huh.
And with my aunt, or my mom's, you know, she's
Somerset,
there.
Somerset, eh? That should have bought it. Ooh!
Must be the south side.
Your mom goes to college.
The south side. Well, you know, they're in their low 80s and all that. Oh. So anyway,
your mom goes to college.
This is going to come into play just so you know about their age, you know. So they're walking up to Somerset.
Yeah.
What my mother didn't know, there's this goose that's protecting a nest by this entrance to Somerset, okay?
What?
And
really?
Apparently there's a big sign that tells people to avoid going in that door because
of
this goose
that's
established this nest, and it's very protective.
Get the goose out of there. That's Somerset. They pay a lot of money to rent that property, for crying out loud. Screw the goose.
Well, I don't know. I guess there's enough people that think it's darling or I don't know. But whatever reason,
if they care that much, they'd lower their prices a little bit.
Why don't you go tell your mom to shut up?
Well, for whatever reason, they're protecting the goose. They have this big sign, you know, to stay clear and respect the goose and all this stuff.
Respect the goose. Yeah. I'm going over there and I'm going to not respect it. That makes me mad.
Well, anyway, the day my mother and my aunt went to Somerset. Uh-huh. It was really windy and it blew the sign away.
Uh-oh.
And my mother didn't know. So she walked right up there.
Yeah.
You couldn't see the goose. You know, she had no idea this hidden. My mother gets up to the door with no sign. The goose comes wailing out of there, chases my mother down the sidewalk and bites her in the ass. The goose bit my mother in the ass, and she said it really hurt.
How did she recover really from this? She must be pretty traumatized. If a goose chased me and bit my ass, I think I'd miss at least two shows. That would scare the hell out of me. Did anyone else get bit?
No. And my aunt, nobody helped her. Everybody was too busy laughing. My mother's all of what? 5 feet tall, 5 foot one. So to see my mother at her age running down the sidewalk with this goose in hot pursuit.
Oh, you know, and they, poor mom.
And you know how those goose, how they lower their head?
Yes.
Know, and they charge.
That's terrible. Oh, my God. So who told you this story? Did your dad tell you?
My mom told
Your mom
Trish
told you?
Me, and then I told Trish, and then she wanted me to call her, you know. And
your mom goes to college.
But I guess they really, they'll fight you not only with their beak, but their wings and everything else, especially when they're protecting young, which was the case.
Oh, my God, is that funny? Well, shouldn't they get some expert that in to move that stupid nest?
I'm telling
Come
you.
Come on. Give
that
me a
goose
break.
Theoretically, because my mother was saying, Mike, I could have ended up hamburger. I could have ended up in the yard. I'd have been on Channel 7 as a dumb woman that was killed by a goose.
That's her biggest fear, is the fact that she'd be the dumb woman on Channel 7.
Yeah.
Not that she'd actually lose her life.
She sounds.
I could have been turned into hamburger.
The guy who, the boss, who's got the desk at this hot secretary is all over. I mean, she must want it, I assume.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. That's a good assumption.
Hello, this is Rob.
Hey, Rob, it's Drew and Mike calling on WRIF Radio. How you doing today?
Good, how you doing?
Good. Hey, we were just wondering, have you seen the Christina's pictures in FHM yet?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my God,
boy,
are you lucky?
Is she hot? Boy, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know those pictures were coming?
Yep.
Oh, you knew? Yeah. How fast did you run in there and smell the desk? Well, I mean, I would have.
Is he hot?
No, just kidding.
I should bring what I would do into the thing.
How pleasant a surprise was that?
Ooh. Was that a spoiler?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Oh, God. What's the matter with you?
Ice cream. I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
You did. You creeped out a creepy.
I know. The reason why that just
what
came to mind.
What is the idea of smell?
He's an idiot.
Who would do that?
Well, I'll tell
you. I didn't even think about that.
I'll tell you who.
That sounds pretty good.
Tell you a little story in a minute.
Please hold. Your call is being transferred to an automated voicemail system.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't think he was going to tell us much.
Thank you, Bob Studios. Please leave a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
He was pretty reserved.
Hey, Rob, it's the radio show that just called. It was sorry about
I'm sorry.
Sullivan. He's a total creep.
I'm sorry about that remark.
Certainly creepier than anybody in your office. But we were actually quite envious of
very much so.
That you got this beautiful girl on your desk in wearing what she's wearing. By God, and would we ever love to talk to her, but we'll
beautiful
leave that
woman.
To you.
I hope you can disregard my inappropriate question, my statement.
Yeah, he's a creep. He's an absolute creep.
I do take that back. I'm sorry about that. I'd like to have a legitimate, enjoyable conversation about this.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
And now I'll probably never get to talk to her either.
I know. I ruined the whole thing.
Anyway, we weren't suggesting you're tapping at or anything like that.
No, of course not.
Or smelling a desk. That was certainly not a logical question whatsoever. It was disgusting.
That came to mind because where I used to work.
He's a creep.
the gas company where I used to work many years ago, there was this guy who was sort of creepy, and he was cube mates with this beautiful, beautiful girl that we were all very envious of. And one day, after hours, we were working on a project, and this is a true story.
And you shared your bicycle seat collection with him.
I walked by.
Is he hot?
And caught him smelling her chair.
Ah!
Ah.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Idiot.
I'm serious. I'm absolutely
disgusting.
Serious.
Disgusting.
It was. It really was. It happened. It happened.
Idiot.
Because of that, this came to mind.
He makes a lot of bicycle seat jokes, too. We don't know how long this has been going on, but we're very sorry.
A past memory interfered with a present. The two got crossed up.
And I wish we could talk to her, but...
Wish I could take it all back.
Anyway, at least your life is a very admired boss.
We at least tell her that we said hello and that she's a very beautiful woman.
Have a good one.
All right.
See you.
Damn. God. I haven't trashed an interview in quite a while.
She's not going to talk. Well,
I have to tell you, though, I don't think he was going to come out with much.
I don't think so either. I think he was kind of freaked out.
Yeah, he seemed awfully freaked out. A deer in headlights, as it were.
Bitch!